latest from ABC News, I'm Deirdre Bryant. Russian President Vladimir Putin is vowing to create airtight security around the Winter Olympic Village in southern Russia. Two suicide bombings in 24 hours killed at least 30 people 400 miles from Sochi. Games begin in 6 weeks. Irina Galushko is with our partners at RT TV in Moscow.
We see a lot of police presence, and generally there's not that many people, you know, walking around.
In Russia's second largest city, St. Petersburg, they've canceled the fireworks show. They'll be on heightened alert in Boston. Police will be out in full force for great celebrations of fireworks on this first night.
We're always alert what happened in April, so, you know, I think we have a great plan, and obviously, taking those circumstances into effect, it will only heighten our alert should anything out of the ordinary get to us.
Boston Police Superintendent Billy Evans. The Obama administration has announced drone testing sites in Alaska, Nevada, New York, Virginia. There will be a bit of cold New Year's in parts of the Midwest and up the plains.
He's a racing driver, and like most racing drivers, he loves to push things to the limit, and in his retirement, first time round, he was racing motorcycles. As recently as last year, I know for a fact that he was skydiving.
Your neighbor accidentally drives his car into your living room. Luckily, your neighbor has minimum liability insurance from Safe Auto, which means for not a lot of money, he can protect himself from his own mistakes. So call Safe Auto right now for some protection of your own. 1-800-SAFE-AUTO.
If you love the food and the homemade traditions of the Amish community, then the Valley Marketplace on South Avenue in Boardman is something you need to know about. From fresh-baked breads and pies, fresh fruit and produce, to Amish-made furniture and gifts. The Valley Marketplace on South Avenue in Boardman, right next to the Georgetown. Visit us online at thevalleymarketplace.com. Open Thursday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Friday night at 8 and Saturday, 8 p.m. Shop early on Saturday till 10 p.m. and take 5% off select foods and items.
Last longer than an Interstate. The new Interstate AGM lasts the 3 times longer than the competition. Find a dealer near you. Visit InterstateBatteries.com.
Well, hello there, good people. This is your happy vocal town. Here you are.
Local talk show that stimulates your mind and gets you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll-free at 1-800-530-WSOM. Listen online at TracyandFriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Thank you, Tracy. Good afternoon, everybody. Good afternoon with Tracy and Friends. Hanging out here in the studio on the day before New Year's Eve. I'm so glad that this year is about out.
ain't all I'm gonna do. And so I'm happy that we're rounding it out to the end of this particular year, 2013. It's been very interesting and a very eventful year. Lots of things have come to light, and I hope the people, I know we're going to all be celebrating and having New Year's Eve and going to church and going out and having fun or whatever you're going to be doing on New Year. But please, please, remember the message from here. We want to make you think, and we want you to think about who we are as a people and as a country, because it's getting darker and darker out here, and a lot of these people are really going to take advantage of the people. So we're going to talk about some of this other stuff. You have people going crazy all over the world. The Islamists are back up there, blowing stuff up, blowing people up in the name of their religion, which is absolutely ridiculous. Now, I'm going to say something that maybe I shouldn't say, but I'm going to say it anyway. If you have to make somebody bow down to your religion, then your God is not that strong, first of all, to be able to reach people. That's number one. Number two, I think you should be exterminated before you get a chance to do anything else. If you're a radical Islamist, if you're a radical Christian, if you're a radical a Buddhist or whatever. I've never heard of a radical Buddhist. They usually set themselves on fire. So, yeah. They sit in the middle of a square and set themselves on fire. That's something sick.
Oh, man. I don't know.
I don't either. But, but it's crazy. It's crazy. But, we can't put ourselves up to this stuff. And we need to start looking toward the future and changing how we do things and how we look after things here in America.
I thought that was the religion of peace.
Yeah, the religion of peace. Okay, I don't know what peace, unless they mean pieces, and that means blow you to pieces. But
rest in peace.
Yeah, rest in peace. If you could do that, but
Well, you heard about what do they call it? Necklacing that they're doing to Christians all over the Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
Where they tie you up and they pile tires over you and light you on fire.
Light you on fire. That's a nice peaceful thing to do to Christians because
what's that picture over there?
Obama. Who's he kissing?
I don't know, but that's a blonde-headed woman, and that ain't no peck on the cheek.
Whoa! Wait a minute.
Whoa!
What the waka flocka? Wait a minute, ladies and gentlemen. It won't click.
Oh, no. I mean, that's a lip lock, baby.
That's a who took a picture of the president kissing somebody?
I saw mommy kissing. That ain't Santa Claus.
What, something in an Obama sitting in a tree, K-I-S-S-I-N-G? Look at that. What? Drudge, wait a minute. Matt Drudge, what are you doing, man? Ladies, anybody that's out there, if you got a computer, go to the Drudge Report for today. Go to Drudge Report and tell me what I'm seeing here. Okay, now still there. Clinton continue reign as most admired. Obama and Clinton continue their reign as the most admired. I don't know if that's Clinton in front of him. Or whatever. No, it's not that. But anyway, here goes the story. For the sixth consecutive year, Barack Obama ranks as the most admired man among Americans, and Hillary Clinton is again the most admired woman. Both won by comfortable margins, 16% named Obama, compared with 4% each for former President George W. Bush and Pope Francis. Clinton, 15%, finished ahead of a television personality Oprah Winfrey. First Lady Michelle came in with 5%, and former Alaska Governor Sarah Palin, 5%. Something's wrong with this, I'll guarantee you. It's a Gallup poll, but You know, and Gallup is pretty
one of the best.
Yeah, pretty reasonable or believable as a poll. I don't know about that one. I really don't know.
A&E backed down this weekend.
Mm.
Did you hear that?
A&E got their butt kicked. That's what they did. The Duck Dynasty is coming back after duck hunting season is over.
Right. Phil isn't going to miss a single episode.
No, we're not going. Phil ain't going to miss nothing. He ain't going to miss no pay. He's still going to get paid. He's still going to be a Christian, and he's still going to think that it's strange for a man to want to screw another man. I'm sorry.
And he's still going to pray at the end of every episode with the family.
Good deal. I can't get to this. How is it you're going to tell me that a homosexual is just a man that likes another man, okay? And that's their preference.
Well,
but why do you have to act like a girl then?
Well, it's been my observation in general, because
mm-hmm.
that's one thing I'm learning since I've been here, is you got to put everything in general and there are no absolutes.
Mm-hmm.
Every time you see a homosexual couple together, there's one that acts male and one that acts effeminate. Of either gender.
Absolutely.
So that tells me that either hormonally or there's an imbalance somewhere
yep.
in somebody's physical makeup.
Something wrong.
Or something else has happened to that person throughout, because there's a lot of evidence that says the majority of homosexuals were molested as children.
Now, before 1990, say about 5 or 6, the journals, all the psychological journals mm-hmm. said, and there was this statistic, because I wrote it down for one of my messages. I used to, we had family ministry and we used
right.
to travel, and I wrote the statistic down that 80%, 75 to 80% of all homosexuality came out as a result of people being molested as a child.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. One way or another, and that particular thing was a statistic for many years. Then all of a sudden, that disappeared, okay, out of the books, and you have this is just an aberration, and it's a sexual, what do they call it? I don't know what they call it, but anyway, 440, you're in the air. What's going on?
Yeah, you know, A&E is going to have they're going to have a new show. It's a lesbian makeover show.
Oh, here we go.
No, didn't you know that?
No.
No. Remember, we're on terrestrial radio.
It's going to be called Pimp My Bull Dyke.
What?
Ooh.
Oh, man, I can't do that one. You cracking up, too. You like your own joke, man. That's funny.
I know. Hey, I got to laugh. I said it. All right, bye.
Everybody that wants to talk can call in 330-781-9600. You got jokes on the day before New Year's Eve. Oh, my goodness. And if you want to talk, just push your little one next, you know, on your phone, and we'll pull you up. I'm looking at this Obamacare stuff. It's costing.
Oh, we got to play. Juan Williams turned. Did you hear?
No, Juan Williams.
Yeah, I had 6 minutes here. We'll play it at the bottom of the hour. When
yeah,
we come back.
Yeah, you
gotta
do that.
I got 6 minutes. Yeah, he turned. He realized that this is going to screw a whole bunch of people.
he realized that.
Yeah,
did he?
I just figured it out.
Gee, I wonder, did his get affected?
I don't know.
It probably did.
Yeah.
You know. I had over Christmas. I really had a heated argument because I really got not heated, but I was venting because I was telling people, look, my wife got thrown off of my plan. She can't ever come back on it again because I'm a retiree.
Yep.
Now, and so since they can't deal with the cost that this is costing, here it is. This thing is costing way more money. Way more money.
Average starting salary where my wife works is around 30 grand.
Mm-hmm.
All the new hires are getting a $12,000 deductible.
Wow. To do their own health care.
No. They got the company's paying. They've got a monthly copay The insurance is through the company.
Mm-hmm.
But the insurance policy has so much a month to come out of your check, plus a $12,000 a year deductible.
Wow. Wow.
How's that work for a guy making 30,000?
Yeah. You're gonna spend up one-third of all your you're spending on health care anyway.
Well, that's the thing, and I found out we've been mistaken. According to my accountant, there are no penalties in this law.
Oh, yeah?
They can't collect them. There's no enforcement written into this law. So think about this. I'm 27 years old, relatively healthy,
mm-hmm.
making 30, 35 grand a year. I look this up. It's going to cost me, with the deductible, about 12 grand a year. I ain't signing up for nothing. All I'm going to do is alter my W-4. So at the end of the year, I got to give the government a few bucks because that's the only collection enforcement that they have is if you get a tax refund, they're going to keep your money.
Wow. 724, you're in the air.
Hey, Jeff, how's it going?
Hey, what's up, Larry?
Larry Long, how you doing?
Happy New Year.
Same to you, man. Blessed and prosperous.
You know, Jeff, couple things. A, I know why you really are happy to turn the page on 2013.
Hey, be quiet now.
Yesterday, I understand.
Well, let me say this, man. What about those Chargers? Chargers?
You know, a lot of my Steeler buddies, Steeler Nation, are all upset because of the bad calls that happened. But that's what happens to you when you put your own destiny in somebody else's hands.
Here's the problem. That's true. That's a good thing. That's a good observation. Here's the thing, though. It's not about all the bad calls because Pittsburgh got the I should say I thought that they owned the referees at one time because they were doing all kind of dirt. They was face masking every single play they were doing. And you know, I'm sitting there watching this on TV and I said, why aren't they calling this stuff? And then, you know, and then when we almost beat, was it New England? We almost beat.
Yeah,
I can't think of who.
You got cheated there. That's New England.
We got cheated, and that would have been the momentum that might have taken us a couple more games further. You know what I'm saying?
I doubt that, but I'm saying it could have.
I'm dressed in my gear, Larry. I'm just having you know. Because they did the right thing yesterday. They fired Chudzinski immediately after the game, and so I am happy about that. I think we need another coach, and I think that we'll pick up the pieces. We'll keep Josh Gordon. We'll keep a couple of the really good people that we have out there, and then hopefully we'll be competitive next year if we get a front line.
Now, you could bring back. You get Coach Lou Holtz out of retirement. You could grab every college coach that's out there right now worth $7 million. So grab Lou Holtz, Nick Saban, Urban Meyer, resurrect Vince Lombardi, bring back Shula, and all of them together can't polish a turd better than what it is. It's a turd.
Well, we're not turds now. I'm sorry. I ain't going with you on that one, Larry.
But listen, you said something earlier, though, Jeff. Now, you said that all homosexuals, whether it's male or female, there's one that is two guys. One of them is female, one's feminine, one's manly, and I have to disagree.
I
said the majority.
The majority, not all cases. But you're going to have to hold it, Larry, because we're getting ready to have to pay some bills here. And,
go pay some bills, and I'll be waiting for you.
All right, my brother. Anyway, afternoon with Tracy and friends, me and Sticks and Larry hanging out here. We're going to talk about whatever you want to talk about, from health care to the picture of the president kissing some woman. My goodness,
Hillary.
I can't believe that.
That's Hillary playing that. Look, that's Hillary.
Oh, my God. No wonder she had to, well, she got her bills paid. We'll talk to you later. Afternoon, Tracy and friends.
Bye. Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingly Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingly offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingly, it's not clean. Kingly Hand Wash and Wax.
Fit Family. Unique, individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mark Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795.
This is the Sean Hannity Show.
Now, when liberals use the Bible and Christianity to advance their progressive ends, well, the mainstream media agrees with them. For them, it's just, oh, yeah, I agree with that. When a conservative uses the Bible and Christianity to advance a conservative point, they hyperventilate in the media. They're warning of a coming theocracy in America.
This is the Valley's home for Sean Hannity. This is News Talk 600.
We're back with Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM, 347-945-5229, or toll-free 1-800-530-WSOM, online at tracyandfriends.com or 600WSOM.com. Now, here's Tracy.
Good afternoon. Afternoon, everybody. We're back. Afternoon with Tracy and Friends. Jeff and Sticks here hanging out with you. And we were just getting ready to let Mr. Larry here tell us about what's going on. But give us a call here at 330-781-9600 or 1-347-945-5229. And I'd like to give a shout-out to locally here, my former church, the Mount Calvary Pentecostal Church, who had a fire over the weekend. And of course, they're encouraged because they believe God and they're not scared. They know what's going on. And all fires aren't a curse necessarily. As long as nobody got hurt and as long as your insurance is paid up, God bless you. You know, I hope that that was the case and that all things are good. But we certainly wish them well and great success in this coming year. As God has always been doing things with that church through Pastor Bishop Norman L. Wagner and now Bishop C. Sean Tyson, a Suffragan bishop, C. Sean Tyson, who are nothing but good people, and I've known them for many years, and I wish them absolutely well. God bless you. All right, sir. Go ahead, Larry.
What I was going to say is most of the lesbian couples most of the lesbian couples that I've met through my wife, because she has several friends that they're what they call the lipstick lesbians. I can show you some of these couples, Jeff, and if you didn't see them holding hands, you swear to God they were straight.
Yeah, my daughter tells me the same, so we agree with you.
Okay. I didn't want you to label, but here's my thing, Jeff. By devoting some of our time to this, we're enabling what they want us. They want us to talk about stuff like this because it really doesn't matter. Because if we don't get a hold of our spending, and you're seeing it already, Jeff, there's no reason the stock market is like it is right now other than we keep pumping that QE3
$86
billion. You know, so none of this, gay marriage, racism, sexism, none of it matters if we go belly up. And that's why concentrating more on the Affordable Care Act is critical. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff out there. There's all kinds of red meat, but this Affordable Care Act was never meant to succeed. It was put in place to crash the system. Be damned if, you know, the people that get hurt crashing the system, if they can get what they want, which is single payer, like, again, that's ever worked anywhere it's been tried. They got single payer in Cuba. Go get some care in Cuba. That's the same in Venezuela, it's the same in Europe. If you got money, you don't get service there. You go somewhere else like the United States because, you know, our health care system has its warts. Don't get me wrong. Like, you know, as far as the limit 30 years ago, $1 million limit on somebody's health care costs, that should have lasted you a lifetime because, you know, $1 million was a lot of money 30 years ago. You know what I mean?
Not only that, Larry, but when state-of-the-art healthcare was an aspirin, you know, healthcare was pretty inexpensive.
Right.
People don't understand. Go ahead, Larry.
Well, there was a thing now, and this treats burn patients. It's a spray, and the spray is made out of the stem cells, your own stem cells. And, you know, before, they can do skin grafts, but it takes a long time to grow that skin graft in a Petri dish to be able to put onto the burn victim. There's a video out there, and I'll send it to you, Jeff, and Sticks on Facebook. But this guy had second, third degree burns, and within a week, he was burned over 70% of his body. Within a week of spraying this, his own skin cells on him, right, with his own stem cells, this guy, you couldn't tell he had ever been burnt. But that costs money. You know what I mean? So you can't fix the Affordable Care Act, A, when you have a president that decides that he's going to ignore certain parts of the law and enforce the other parts. You know, that's
right.
Not law to pick and choose. And really, we as Americans, most of us that read the Constitution and understand the laws and how it's supposed to be doing, should be,
sure,
that's what we should be upset about, not what some guy that has a Duck Dynasty, Phil Robinson. I've never watched it. I heard all the people talk about it. Yeah.
Right.
But that we shouldn't be worried about that. We should have as much concern for Phil Robinson, the guy that was on Fast and Furious that crashed and died, everybody's all upset about. We should have that same passion for what's going on in the healthcare system, because, as you pointed out, Jeff, everything that was said was a lie. Everything.
Everything was said was a lie. But we're going to get back to that in a minute. South Carolina, then local caller. South Carolina.
Well, before you guys got off of the subject of football, I just wanted to say congratulations to my Carolina Panthers. They won the NFC South. They also
Good.
Had the first round bye for the playoffs. Hoorah, hoorah, hoorah.
Well, I'm with you on that because all my people are from South Carolina. I can go for that.
People jumped off the bandwagon when they were, 0-4. But now
yeah,
all of a sudden,
yeah.
12-4. That's a big start.
Sure.
Big difference.
Well, hey, man, congratulations to Carolina Panthers. They played ball, and they looked good. They sure enough looked good. They gelled good. It's just like Pittsburgh really had a good team, a very good team. And who's that back they had that runs really good?
Bell.
Is it Antonio Brown or something?
Bell is the running back.
What's his last name?
Bell, B-E-L-L.
Bell, yeah. That boy's dangerous.
Well, he was hurt the first four games, Jeff. He didn't play
yeah,
the first
I know.
Four games.
That's what I understand. And I think their season would have been totally different if he had been in there. But I think Ben is on, even though he's got excellent numbers, he could go another year easy and probably will. But, Ben is just deadly accurate, and he can pass that ball falling down. And, you ain't going to hear me say too much nice about them too much, so you better take this in right now. Because I hate them.
I'm sitting there, my mouth is off on the floor driving. I'm like, whoa, what are you talking about?
That's because I'm an honest person, and that's one thing that I have to try to live by.
But here, Jeff, to steer away from football back to the politics, I have a question. We extended, for the first time in the history of this country, we extended federal unemployment benefits that took it almost out to 2 years, wasn't it? Or it was 50,
yeah,
99
weeks is
right?
3 weeks shy of two years, yeah.
Yeah, and the rationale behind that, because it was so bad. The economy was, getting ready to crater, and the stock market was going to, the financial system, everything was just going to crash. So you push that through. But now, right, what was it, a month before the election, unemployment dropped mysteriously below 8%. Now it's hovering at 7, and the stock market is blowing up. So why is there all this fuss about taking a program that was not a permanent program and taking it away? I mean, the numbers say everything's good. So why the fuss to take that away and, it's going to crash, it's going to burn, everything like that? If not, if you truly need it, because I do believe we're still in a recession. And I do believe it's actually going to be worse here in 2014 than it was in 2008, 2009.
Oh, absolutely. As soon as they...
Yeah.
Oh, I agree.
If you put a program in place because it's bad, but now you're telling me the economy's good, then that program shouldn't be in place anymore.
Right,
so you're either lying to me about the unemployment numbers, which I believe they are, or you can't have it both ways. If the employment numbers, if you're going to stand on the employment numbers and GDP and everything else that you're measuring in the economic sector, then that program's got to go. Now, on the one side, I do know that people need that. I know that people can't go get jobs right now, right, to support their family.
Right.
So that means that you lied to me about the state of the economy. You can't
have
it both ways.
Of course they did.
Well,
and they're continuing.
Somebody got to call it on them, Jeff. I put it out on my Facebook page like that, and it generated over 100 comments, people saying. I'm like, okay, well, tell me. Then if the economy's doing good, then why do we need it? And if we need it, then the economy's not doing good, and somebody lied to me.
Well, of course they're lying, and the thing is I get my friends call me, put stuff on my They say, look at the economy. It's burning on all four cylinders. No, it's not. You have very limited spending. The shopping season was nowhere near as good. They keep on fighting every day or two. You see a change in how much they say the retailers did over the time, and they know they're lying. They're flipping these numbers to make this guy look good, so the midterms will be favorable toward the Democrats. That's why they don't want this.
Wasn't that the biggest thing that everybody ripped on President Bush about, was all the lies that he told?
Yeah, of course. But the thing is here it is. Now I'm gonna tell you just like this. My wife made a statement on Inauguration Day, and she said that she sees that everything that they blamed Bush did, these people are going to do 10 times worse. And she has been absolutely correct so far. These are liars. These are pathological liars. These are people that are lying to save their own behinds, not to protect their country or others. They are lying to protect their behinds so that they can destroy as much as they can to make this into what they want it to be, not what it was ever intended to be. They're the perfect thought for bastardization of something, and that is something that doesn't have a father. They created a monster. You scared me. My daughter snuck up on me. Anyway, this is a bastardization of things that are happening. So you're gonna watch this thing happen real slowly this year. You watch this stuff. The tide is going to turn to this point, and that is, I believe that the people on the right, the true conservatives, are going to stand up this year, as well as the church, and I think that we're going to have some changes. Now, I'm not going to tell you that's one of my prophecies per se. I'm telling you that's what I think I'm seeing, and so we're going to watch this. And before you go, I'm going to go pull up this local caller before we have to pay some bills. Local caller, you're in the air.
Yes, good afternoon, Jeff. How are we doing?
Good, my friend. How
hey,
are you,
Mr. Dover?
We must get rid of politicians, legislation, and treaties, and the Federal Reserve Board that have done this great harm to this country. In our history, the first 100 years of our country, our dollar went from a dollar worth of buying power to $1.08 worth of buying power.
Mm-hmm.
The next 100 years under the Federal Reserve Board, brought to us by the English banksters owned by a few elitist families that won't even disclose their wealth, and no part of our government took our dollar down to 4 cents. 1, 2, 3, 4. 4 cents worth of buying power.
Mm-hmm.
And we must get an honest, patriotic, niceless man as president that will do exactly that, get rid of these treasonous politicians, whether voted in or installed, just done quickly to save our country. It is time for all Americans to rise up and then to rise up. Know that D.C. is full of traitors, padding their own pockets, taking our country and the American people down to the bottom. And it's just not at the federal level. It's also at your state and local levels too. And they would take your pensions and your children and your grandchildren's wealth, too, and sit on your ass and see.
No,
go,
Mr. Dover.
Rise up and stop it.
Be careful. We're on terrestrial radio, Mr. Dover. We get in trouble for saying that.
You can't say that word on the radio.
Okay, the George Washington Revolution Rescind and Repeal Party is what is needed.
Oh,
we need to rescind and repeal and try these people that the Pelosi's, these people are not traitors. And not only will Obamacare take us under, the Federal Reserve Board was put here purposely.
Okay.
To do just that.
Brother Dover, we're going to have to take a break now. We'll be right back afternoon with Tracy and Fran.
Have a good day.
South Carolina.
Where's Beasley at?
I was looking for South Carolina.
Okay, sorry about that. I was in the bank. And
yeah, I was trying to see about. I think I'm pulling for Cam, but I think they're gonna lose, man.
I don't know. They got a win.
I'm pulling for him.
A first round bye, so hopefully that.
I'm pulling for Cam, but nah, I don't see it, man.
Well, it all depends on who they're gonna play.
Oh, at least they didn't fire Shanahan because he sucked.
Well, we appreciate Cleveland getting rid of Shula because we got him and he's doing a pretty good job as a coordinator.
I was at the barbershop the other day, and the guy was talking about Auburn, how they got this, they got that. I said, look, I was pulling for Auburn, pulling for the SEC. I said, well, when you go up against Florida State, I said, you guys got to the championship by a statistical chance of the ball bouncing off a guy's shoulder, landing into the guy. They almost lost to Georgia. Then
yep.
You get a field goal ran back, and just, you know, Nick Saban made a dumb play, and you guys got in there, and now you're bragging like you guys are just, you know, on top of the world. Like, people just prisoners of the moment.
Just be careful.
I mean, I think I like the SEC. I think they're the best conference, but this is not the best matchup. It's just not.
Well, Florida State and that's gonna be interesting.
Had it been Alabama and Florida State, it'd probably been a better matchup. This is not gonna be a good matchup. I think it's gonna be a beatdown. That's just me.
Well, Florida State, they got a lot of speed, man. I don't care what you say.
They hadn't played nobody for real, but yeah, I just think Florida State got it. I'd be shocked if they lose. I really would.
It wouldn't shock me because I know that on any given Saturday, any given team can beat any other given team. Appalachian State proved that.
I think if they played, they met on an equal, even field. I don't know if they could beat Florida State. Could probably beat Texas A&M.
No.
That's a lot of firepower.
Oh, yeah.
But, see, they got a guy in Florida State that's kind of like Evans. So, I don't know. Just they get, you know, but nobody will be able to. Texas A&M got one of the weakest offensive defenses in college football. So.
Well, I watched the game yesterday. And nobody thought that old boy was going to be any good. Mike Tolbert. From Coastal Carolina. This little back, they say he's listed at 5'9", 240. But the announcer saying he's closer to 5'8", 260. And, oh, boy, I got a head full of steam, and he ran over two defensive backs. And I'm like, I was like, wow. Them boys, they this time of year, if you're going to win, you got to pull out all the stops. No ifs, ands, or buts.
I was happy to see the Bears lose yesterday.
I wasn't expecting that, though.
I'm going to tell you why.
I wasn't.
They fired Lovie Smith after a 10-win season. Look, Jay Cutler is not the guy.
Who does that?
40-year-old.
Who does that?
And more than a third don't offer affordable plans for people over 50. Can Americans withstand the crushing new cost of Obamacare in the new year? Joining us now from Washington to analyze, Fox News political analyst Charles Krauthammer, the author of Things That Matter, the number one New York Times bestseller now available on audiobook CD. Charles, I am looking here at a list in my mind, in my hand, I should say, of some of these new taxes and fees. Of course, we know about the individual mandate that's going to tax. That's what the Supreme Court said, put a tax on people who don't sign up. But you've also got taxes on medical devices. You've got a Medicare payroll tax. In all, you've got 20 new taxes in Obamacare, 9 that have taken effect this year or next. What are all these hidden taxes and fees coming for? What is it going to do for anybody?
We have a little failure
again.
There. Well, anyway, Juan Williams, ladies and gentlemen, is evidently recanting and feeling bad about his unprecedented support of Obamacare. And he was out there, you know, championing. You got to give this thing a chance, and we have to do this. Because if you don't give it a chance, you know, you're not going to have whatever, and that's blah, blah, blah. Well, here's the thing. I don't need to give strychnine a chance, okay? I just don't need to. Alabama, you are in the air. What's up, brother? And then Diva, you'll
What's
be
up,
next.
Jeff, I noticed you guys talked about Facebook. I remember that post I made a couple of days ago about a guy who just went to the club down here in Alabama and killed
right.
two people.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I deleted the post. My brother called me like, you need to delete it. You know, it was real derogatory. I wasn't cussing at anybody, but I just felt like there's a certain type of behavior. And this, you know, one of the guys that comes, he's real contrarian. He was against the video you guys played last week. And every time I post something, he has a problem with the way it's said more so than the real gist of the message. And,
yeah, then what the substance of the article is about, and that's what liberals do, because they have no idea what you mean when you stand on a principle. Liberals don't have principles like that. Their principle
it's
is...
Like, it's almost like, okay, if I stomp on your toe, if you scream and say, ouch, real loud, they'll get upset at you because you're loud, instead of saying, well, wait a minute, the guy just stumped on your toe. It's
yeah.
backwards
no,
thinking to me.
Exactly. Why are you screaming? You don't have to scream at me. I'm not screaming at
yeah,
you. I'm screaming because my foot is hurting.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, but that's the problem. It's like nobody's really – and, you know, I read a book by Ann Coulter. I forget what it's called, Demonic or something, some book she had where she was talking about
right.
A lot of African, you know, people got upset because she was on The View. She was talking to Whoopi Goldberg and made this point about people are babied and not really told what they need to, you know, told the truth. And sometimes people need to hear the truth and be told, look, this is stupid. You buying a $2,500 purse and you don't make that kind of money every year to be buying a purse, that's a dumb decision. And, you know, and instead of, well, I've made a dumb purchase in my life, you know. Instead of, well, that was stupid on your part, too. Maybe we need to change our standards. But, you know, I just think it's a lot of excuses being given as to the mediocrity we have. And, I call up this same show and say something about the racism and things that have taken place in the history and stuff like that. But that still doesn't excuse stupid behavior that we do. I'm not going to
exactly.
give you ammunition. If I think you're out to get me, I'm not going to give you something else. I'm not going to wear my pants around my butt. I'm already a black man. So I'm not going to wear my
right.
pants around my butt, wear my hair knotty, you know, gold teeth, dreads down my back, you know, and then wonder why I don't get a job or I don't get a loan or I don't get something, or, you know. And it's just that we make excuses for failure. And because you use the word – I ain't gonna lie. I mean, I used the word monkey. I did in the comment I made. But at the end of the day, yeah, I think what separates
what
a human being.
That's what they're acting like.
That's what I said. And I said the difference between a human being and a monkey is an animal or a monkey doesn't have critical thinking skills. They don't think. They don't pontificate. They don't think about, okay, well, not pontificate, but they don't think about what they're doing before they do it. And so I made that point. I was like, this guy got upset, got offended. The guy, come to find out, he shot the guy already. The guy's a rapper. He was signed with a rapper. You know T.I., the rapper out of Atlanta. The guy was
yeah.
signed. He's from Montgomery. He was signed with T.I. The guy robbed him already and shot the guy in his eye. That's why the rapper used to wear a patch on his eye. So
right.
the guy robbed the guy. And he's saying, I'm going to prove he's not a real thug like he raps in his song. As if you have every guy that raps, anybody that grabs a mic has the rap. A certain one has to be a punk, I guess. I don't know what the guy's supposed to rap about. But this is the problem. You have this thug culture that a lot of women, Diva, try to defend sometimes. I don't think these thugs, I think thugs are probably one of our biggest problems in our community. And I feel like this guy is just another example of stupidity. And then he goes on Facebook. I didn't really say that. I didn't read his Facebook post was something along the lines of, you know, let me hear you talk trash now. You dead, you fat MF. This, I mean, no remorse. You kill something. And another guy killed just standing there. She's dead, but this guy cares nothing about that. Just because you want to prove you that this guy ain't no thug, you went and killed him, some girl that's standing there, you shot eight other people in the club. They, some of these people still in the hospital right now fighting for their lives. And they want to get upset because I called a guy a monkey.
Well, here's the thing. Like I said, that goes with the liberal mindset. I hate to say it because liberals don't see principle. All they see is their emotional response, knee-jerk response to any subject at any time. They say stupid things that don't make sense, but at the same time...
He said they told me that, but they didn't call us monkeys because of thugs. They called us monkey for... Like, dude, I know what that... You think I don't know why
it don't
they,
make
I know
no
how di- they come...
It makes no difference why they called you a monkey.
That was why they called us. I said,
can
but
I
if you act like one... Go ahead.
Can I get in here? One, you've never heard me defend any thug. Two, you're
wait a minute. No.
Young.
You Friday, you said a woman dates a
hold
thug
on,
because they're
finish.
More they're going to defend them. Go ahead. You made that point last week. Go ahead.
No, Alabama, let me finish. One, you've never heard me defend thugs, especially someone acting like that. Two, your post went beyond you just calling that guy a monkey. You put in the premise of this is why racist white men were calling us monkeys because of that type of behavior. What we were simply trying to correct you on was that was not the reason why they were calling us monkeys and apes. And if that's the type of behavior that you want to call somebody a monkey on, then that word crosses racial boundaries because there are just as many non-blacks who commit heinous crimes that you could use that term with. And you're making it just
okay.
seem like, oh, it's
okay,
black
Okay, hold on. I'm not saying that they called us that way back 200 years ago because of that. We wouldn't like that back then. What I'm saying is if you act like that today, they'll call you that today. Because it fits the narrative now. It fits the narrative of you being a black male with your pain. You fit in, and then you're going to go and do exactly what someone who already looks at you and thinks that may be racist is going to think that.
If a black person who commits a heinous crime, they're considered monkeys, but it's not used towards someone who is non-black.
You know why?
Okay.
I'm going to tell you why. Because many times it's freaking senseless. It doesn't have anything to do with any real reason, like even a crime of passion or even just that you're a drug dealer, a drug addict and you tried to get make some money to go buy your drugs or something like that. This would be you drop the nickel in front of me, I'm going to kill you. But here goes where I'm at with this. In the black community, black people have been so dehumanized by white supremacy and white supremacist structure and covert racism that we've been relegated to this, but the thing is we don't realize is the freaking people you vote for every single doggone election day are the ones that's doing it to you. And that's my problem. I wouldn't care if we understood that point. But we're fighting to vote for these Democrats every single time. And I'm talking about the nationals. I'm talking about the progressives, not all local Democrats. I'm not talking about that at all. I'm talking about the whole mindset of the National Party, who has in it the destruction of babies, 1.2 million at least every year, that has in it the all of the programs that keep you just above poverty enough to make a living, and it makes it less likely that you'll go to work because you're going to try to get on some kind of system that will pay you a check every month because it's easier.
But
That's what I'm talking about. Don't you think it adds to it? That's the conditioning.
Black people have so much against them, especially young black men. And you're going to go mm-hmm. out and do the complete dumbest thing you can think of. I don't like this guy. He's not rapping about the real street life because he's not a real thing. And I'm going to prove it. I'm going to rob him and shoot him and kill him or whatever. Try to kill him one time, then rob him again and
his
kill him. Like,
a.
come on now.
Yeah, his punk A. That's the I had a studio and I did lots of rappers, okay? Lots. Okay, and I saw that mindset for the few years that I did that, about 3 years, and I just could not believe it. And I tried to talk to some of these guys here and there, and, you know, they'd listen to you, but, you know, until one of the main guys that used to come, beautiful young man, was a great musician. I knew his family really well, blah, 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 sitting in his car, and these guys just walked up on him over a girl and blasted him and killed him. I was lividly pissed. Excuse me, everybody. Livid. Because you know what? It doesn't make sense. And when you do stupid behavior like that, that's when people call you names and they look like they're justified in calling you that name because you're acting just like the ASS that you they say you are. And you need to not do this. I agree with you 1,000%. Back in the 60s, you know, it wasn't like that in the black community in the 50s and 60s. You can leave your doors open in the 50s and 60s.
The guy tried to come in and say as if I didn't understand that. And I'm like, okay,
no,
I didn't tell you that.
No, he's
the crime rate was,
okay.
We had low crime rates in our community and all that before. I know that. That doesn't have anything to do with it. But if you are, you got a prison industrial system, you got all these things geared towards you as a black male, and you're going to go and kill someone and sit in a jail cell for 15, 20, maybe life. This guy may get death penalty in Alabama just to prove that his lyrics are, come on, man. That's like an animal fighting to the death over the fact that you took his bonus. I mean, that's just stupid. That's just the dumbest, stupidest behavior I've ever heard of in my life. And if you tell me, if you describe that crime and not describe the skin color, 9 times out of 10 people, that's probably a black guy. There's a difference. Now, look, I'm black too, so I'm not trying to save my people's dog out black people. But let's not act like we don't do some special, black people don't do some special things sometimes. That's all I was saying.
There's no doubt about it. Look, I'm in agreement with you. I'm not even going mix any words about it, no ifs, ands, or buts. It's all good because it is what it is. And, if you're acting a fool, you need to get it together. And instead of Jesse and all of them are always, you know, they want to call racism and hate crimes when it's one person that does something against a black person. But when a black person does something against a white person, they don't say a doggone thing. Well, it kind of makes your argument moot, and it also shows you up for what you are, is a freaking opportunist ambulance chaser making your money by dragging these people over the coals, that are doing other things. That's what's the problem. Now, I don't have any argument if I'm guilty. I have an argument if I'm not guilty, and you know, and you're blaming me for something. See, but if you don't get control of your own neighborhood, which you don't got it because you always give it over control to these idiots that you vote for. And they do things to you and for you. Look at Detroit. Look at Chicago getting ready to go bankrupt. Wake up. Now, sometimes I like to revert back to the street. Okay, because I was raised in the street regardless of whether I was raised in a professional household. And I could cuss the chrome off a bumper for real. And I really want to use some of that language at times because I get so frustrated with us. We have to change. 2014, you can't steal from each other and beat each other down and shoot each other down in the street about some craziness. We're about to go to the top of the hour news. We're going to be right back after that, and we're going to talk about whatever you want to talk about. Sorry to be so ranting right now, but I'm still I'm a little upset. But we'll talk about that on the other side. See ya.
You've been listening to Afternoon.
Alabama.
Deal.
Alabama.
Deal.
Please don't take this the wrong way. But why do you always complain about people disagreeing with you? You're just disagreeing with you. You got to build thicker skin than that. Not everybody's going to agree. Even if you vehemently believe that what you are saying is
true,
so honest, and you are right, there's always going to be someone who's going to disagree with you.
Hold on, Diva, who are you talking about?
You.
Shoot, I've been on hold. I ain't heard nothing you said. I just got back. My son, you I heard thick skin. I know you're talking about me. Look, this is the thing
yeah,
right here.
Because
hold
what
on,
I said was,
when I had that video, when I played that video, the guy had a problem. No, listen, when I played that video, the guy had a problem with the fact that he said what he said. He didn't even listen. It's not the fact that this guy's buying a $350 belt. It's not the fact that she's buying a $2,500 purse and can't afford it. It's the fact that he called them troglodytes or called them names.
Do you understand?
That, to me, is a bigger problem to me because we've learned from liberals as black people. We've learned from these white liberals to be more concerned about the package of something than the message of something. And so now we don't listen to them. We have a problem. We got a real issue. We focus more on the doggone issue. Like, you got a problem. You got a bigger problem than worrying about the fact that I said something, didn't say it the way it was friendly.
I'm going to pray
everything
for you, Alabama. That's just rubbing off on
you. Hold on, Brown. Brown, you make a lot of points. You ain't supposed to be hard. I mean, what? Brown will make a point and throw somebody in the middle of his point, but Brown's trying to make a point. You have to listen through and not get offended by the way he said it. And just, okay, well, is there some truth to it? He insult me sometimes. I listen to what he say, and I disagree with what the root of the message instead of worrying about what he cut. That's just stupid.
Brown
that's
is
just,
not
I don't care about that.
Sounding
no,
like
I,
an
I don't
ignorant
say that.
Racist
I don't say that. I disagree.
He colors his own skin. That's the difference.
Hey, what? What?
Brown is not up here sounding like a ignorant racist who hates the color of his own skin. You got to understand.
Hold on. That's the thing. You assume. He assumed and you assume. Both of y'all assume.
I didn't assume anything.
He assumed that I didn't understand the history of the word monkey being an insult to black people. I never said I didn't understand the history of why when they use it. He tried to come in and talk about something I never said.
It was not the fact that you called him a monkey, Alabama. You took it two steps further in condoning what white races was using that term for.
I didn't condone. I said he acted like
animal.
Look, if somebody say you stupid and you come up there and you act stupid, that's what they should have called you stupid because you acted stupid.
Why they had called us monkeys in the past because of this type of
behavior. That's hypocritical. That's hypocritical. Because if someone acts stupid and you say, you know what, you're acting stupid, so they should call you stupid because you're acting stupid. That's
oh my
what
gosh.
I said.
You don't get it. I don't have to get it. I'm still going to live my life like I want to. Someone using that word in a very degenerative
way. Wait a minute. I wish they would call me one in my face. I'm going to have a problem with it, too. So I'm not saying that.
But it's okay for you to call someone else a monkey then. So
if you act like one, if you don't have critical thinking skills, you know, if you're ready to spend 20 years in the jail system, the guy's not tough, then you are a monkey. I'm sorry.
Okay, but that's one thing.
Oh, see, what's wrong with that?
Guy's a monkey. He acted like an animal. I completely get
that.
Yes,
and then you kill an innocent girl standing on the side of that girl dead, and you go on Facebook posting about it, and you don't see nothing wrong with that? That
I
is
mean,
a monkey.
Or how much fat you got in
That's
it.
A monkey right there. That's a monkey.
Somebody,
he would kill you,
somebody
if you were standing on the stage.
They're dumber than a monkey. They're dumber than a monkey.
Like a monkey?
Exactly.
Hey.
They're animalistic. But you got to understand, Alabama, when you sat up there and you put extra on that by saying, I can understand why they called us monkeys, because somebody acted animalistic.
I didn't say us. Wait. I didn't say us. I'm not talking about all of us. When someone is racist, you've given them ammunition by acting like a monkey. You've given these people that are stupid themselves, they think that all they got to do is look at all this stupid stuff like this guy just did, and they'll blame me and you for it. Every time I go out the door, I got to worry about what people think because of stupid people like this.
Why are you so worried about what they think about you because of stupid people?
I'm not worried. It's about what I have to deal with. I have to deal with extra things as a black man because of people that are stupid, that have made dumb decisions. Every time I go in for a job interview, if I get into a disagreement with a coworker, I have to be more than careful than you would have to be because I'm a black man. Why? Because they cut the news on and they see a guy like this. They see a fool like this that goes and shoots.
Who is being stupid instead of the racist or the bigot who is not looking at you as an individual, he's grouping you in with everybody else. So you want to blame the other person?
Nobody being racist against black people. So let's just stop this straw man argument, okay? That's a straw man
if
argument.
He's not
let's take
to
it
hire
down.
You because
Bingo.
He's goofy.
Let's take the phone down
people.
A little bit because we're screaming and ain't nobody listening to nobody.
He's about you.
Hold
I'm
on.
Sorry. He's a bigot at the least.
Huh?
He's a bigot.
Who?
If, he,
who?
If you have a potential employer who is looking at you and grouping you into what these bad black guys out here are doing and don't even
hey.
Know you, he's at least
hey.
A bigot.
Diva?
But yet you want to blame
most
the other
do that.
Guys.
Diva?
Hey,
most people
Diva.
Do that. Diva?
Diva? And maybe in Alabama, maybe in Alabama, you live in the colony of Alabama, and I swear it's a different culture. And, of course, racism.
Oh, they ain't racist in California. You're right.
But you're not going to let me finish. You're being sarcastic. But
go ahead.
I'm sarcastic, too. But I have to think that the colony of Alabama is that there's racism and there's bigotry everywhere. But I just have to believe that it's just different. And it has to be different in Alabama than it
First
is
of all,
Alabama.
When you think of racism, you're going to think of Alabama and Mississippi and Georgia. Those are the three states you're going to think
well,
of.
Well, I see racism everywhere. I see it worldwide.
Yeah, but when you say Alabama,
that's the first example
everybody gives for the most racist state in the union. Oh, it's Alabama. Off the top. As if people in New York and all these, they're more open-minded. They're more this, they're more that.
Hey, guys, listen. You've got a situation where people go and inform their opinions by what they see and by what experiences they've had. And if everything they see is a black guy that's a thug, that dresses a certain way and acts a certain way, that's all they're going to know, and that's how they're going to learn how to relate. That's how we learn how to relate to white folks. Remember that. Because the things we've thought about when talking about
I don't know. I've been around
folks,
all kinds of people all my life.
No.
He's
no,
well
Alabama.
Spoken.
Hold on a second.
Nice.
Hold on a second.
In the South,
when you were a young child and growing up during that time, you were told, okay, this is how you do when you see a white person coming down the street. Okay? Otherwise, that child don't do anything you want to. You're taught and you learn by your experiences. And that's what's happening.
Okay, but again, when you're an adult, it's a completely different ball game, especially when your worldview has been broadened because you've been around different types of people. I'm sure Alabama's not going in there with his pants hanging down his butt, gold teeth in his mouth, using slang and ebonics and whatnot. Very fine educated brother.
But you know why I don't do that? You know why I don't do that? It's not because I think it's wrong. There's nothing wrong with that in and of itself. But they're going to assume I'm stupid and inferior because I look like the guy that goes and kills somebody. So that's why I don't do it.
Blaming the bigot who is sitting in front of you, who is stereotyping you, you want to blame the person that he is associating you with.
No, I'm challenging our people to rise above stupid moves like that, period. That's more important to me. I can't change people's hearts. But stupid decisions like that, we need to stop condoning and saying, well, hey, let's scream racism. But when it comes to killing somebody, that's not a deal. Montgomery per capita, if it was the same size as Chicago, would be almost 2,000 murders a year. One of the worst cities in the country for murder. Per capita. Come on, man. We're killing 60-some people a year out of 250,000 people.
Well, how do you think Sandra Fluck gets her free contraceptives? Remember all the free stuff people are getting, the free mammograms?
Oh, I don't know why I turned into this today.
Free everything. Nothing is free in this world. What Obamacare managed to do very cleverly when it was selling itself is to hide all these taxes. They're $1 trillion a year. The ones you mentioned are just a sample, and they are everywhere. And then there's the one that you mentioned in your introduction, which is the hidden tax. People tossed off their private insurance, and then it'll be in the future people tossed off their employer insurance, who now have to buy plans with all of these bells and whistles that people don't want. But it does that to artificially inflate the premium and use that extra money people are paying, the hike in their premium, and to use it to subsidize other people. So the cost here that people are paying out is huge. And what you mentioned about the middle, and the upper middle class is they are being asked to subsidize anybody up to three times the poverty line. So that's the plan. This is a huge transfer of wealth that was always in the bill. It was never anything that couldn't have been seen. But the media and most analysts, and of course Democrats, were uninterested in looking at it at all.
Well, here's the thing.
You know, it's supposed to help people, especially people who have been lacking in health insurance or underinsured. But what the USA Today story indicated is that somebody who is making a middle income, you know, an individual making $50,000 or so, a couple making $60,000, if they don't qualify for that subsidy, Charles, their cost of insurance, their premium under the Obamacare plan is going to be more than 8% of their income, which is what Obamacare says is the base. You should pay no more than 8%. But now they're going to have to pay much more, and they're going to have to pay the added fees and the added taxes. So there are people who are being squeezed. We've already talked about people who've had plans canceled. But here's a segment that's new to the table as being squeezed and possibly squeezed out of all health insurance.
Well, that was the fraud of Obama's campaign promise. They pretended they only wanted to tax the upper 2%, you know, the very rich and the plutocrats and all that. But what they didn't say is that hidden in Obamacare were billions, tens of billions of dollars of tax hike on the middle, as you say, 50,000. That's about the medium income in the country, old income, and the upper middle class. This is a huge tax on the middle class. But Obama always is a defender of the middle class against the very rich. Now we look inside. Remember, Pelosi said, we're not going to know what's in the bill until we pass it. Well, we passed it, we're enacting it, and now we can see what was in it all the time.
Now,
and
but Charles,
people don't like
now,
it.
Now, Charles, well, part of this, though, and this is where I started with you this evening, was to say, where's all this money going? What's it for? What are all these hidden taxes and fees for? Part of it, it seems to me, is to help the insurance companies in case that their risk pools don't pan out, that they don't get enough young, healthy people. It's to make sure that they have some compensation. In fact, what we know is there are so-called risk corridors put in there so the government can give money to the insurance companies if they're not getting enough money back. So is this going to result in the government doing a GM and bailing out the insurance companies down the line?
Well, that's what the insurers are scared to death about. You've gotten all these new audibles called at the scrimmage line by the administration, the new rules, the extension of the deadlines, the instruction that anybody who has canceled insurance no longer has to pay a fine or a tax or can buy a very cheap catastrophic plan. This stuff is being tossed at the insurers at the last moment. They already are looking at a catastrophe of enrollment, hugely under-enrolled and hugely weighted against the young and the healthy, the ones who're supposed to subsidize everybody else. They can see billions of losses down the road, and there's only one way out of that, Juan. That's going to be a bailout. That's why the administration is somewhat serene, and that's why the Republicans have to get up right now and to pass a bill saying no bailout, at
all
least
right
in the House.
Charles, we're going to come back to you in just a moment.
And that was, what was his name again?
Juan Williams.
That was not Juan Williams.
Yes,
you're lying. You're lying to me?
Oh, I would never lie to you.
Sticks, come on. Come on, I'm not buying
it. That was Juan Williams?
That was not Juan Williams.
He finally learned how to do mathematics.
All right, callers, you are in the air. What do you think about what Juan Williams just said about this Health Care Act? And first of all, those that are that are these great supporters, I want to hear from you. Go ahead.
He
I would
Virginia
have to say
that really is a Santa Claus.
He said the supporters, not the dissenters.
All right, go ahead. Go ahead, supporter.
I'll have to say the only part that I really heard him talk about was the taxes and the fees and how it's going to compensate the insurance companies when the amount of people signing up doesn't hold true what they think or would want it to be. I would have to say yes. I agree with that assumption. I would have to say because if you look at the bill, it did nothing really to put the insurance companies in their place when it comes to how they charge and how much they how much their customers have to pay. So I just anybody with eyes and intelligence can see that this was an insurance company bill.
But you get your hand called for. This is what the people asked for. They wanted still some type of free market system. So
this is not a free market system.
You didn't hear that whole part about how. Go ahead.
No, I wasn't really paying attention.
In order for you to have a free market, you have to have competition. When the government regulates that a company can only operate in one state and sets the rates and this is how high you can go, this is how low you can go, that's not a free market. That's almost totalitarian. You do what we say when we say it and how we say it, and then, you know, they call that free market. No, I'm sorry, darling. That's a long way from being that.
I wish Blind Mike was here because he knows about insurance, and he explained this once very good before. When they let car insurers go state to state, rates dropped. Life insurance, term life insurance rates went through the floor when you could go state to state. And if you had insurance companies, health insurance companies that would compete state to state, the prices would go through the floor.
And the thing is that they're not going to do that because then they can't make, you know, the regulation say, you know, we get so much money.
Here's what I don't understand. In this law, it says that an insurance company has to pay out 80% of what it takes in a year, or it has to refund. Well, what happens if we have a year where we have very low claims rates, so we got a big chunk of money, so we have to refund all that money that we took in extra, and then next year we have all this, for some reason there's an outbreak of the flu or a pandemic, and we're paying out 130% of what we took in. What happens to
the objective is the bankroll of these people. They're supposed to go out of business, and then the government's supposed to step in, and it's done. They're lying, cheating, and doing whatever they can to get that to happen. So then they can come in and say, well, this is the only option, the government. And then people like, you know, everybody else will be happy. So, well, you know, that's what they're trying to do.
See, I have been part of two government health care systems. One being Bureau of Workers' Compensation for an industrial injury, and the other one was through the military, and both of them suck.
Yeah, that's true.
My wife, you get in the military system for your dependents, and you're sitting in a chair someplace for hours. Your wife and your kids, they lose records. It's just a horrible, horrible system.
Well,
and
they got lower standards too. They have lower standards.
Right, and as far as
not
being compensation, I have a spinal cord injury that I have to use catheters for. When I was in that system, if I got a bladder infection and I contacted comp, it took 2 weeks before I got authorization to go see a doctor. That's what's going to happen. That's the future of healthcare in the United States.
And two weeks is very quick.
A long time with a bladder infection.
It's a hell of a long time with a bladder infection. But I'm saying, you think the 2 weeks is a quick time?
Well,
compared to what it's getting ready to be.
Well, yeah, in Canada, the only way to get to the head of the line with a major illness is to become terminal.
I don't know what's going on with those two systems, but I can say this: at least with those two systems, you have the chance and opportunity of seeing a doctor than not having any insurance.
Do you know anybody that's ever walked into a hospital and didn't get treatment?
Anybody?
No, a hospital. Who wants to go to the emergency room for a cold or a bladder infection? You want to go see a doctor. Don't want to go to the emergency room, and doctors are not going to take you really without insurance.
You ever seen a doc didn't take cash?
That's not true.
I've never seen a doc wouldn't take cash.
Okay, sometimes they may work with you, sometimes they don't.
They don't have to.
You fuck up, and not every doctor is going to take, because the minute you call in and ask, what insurance do you have? If you don't have any insurance, well, this is how much it costs. Well, can you work with me? Well, I have to call the doctor. I have to get with the doctor and call you back. It's not like, oh,
you know what, though? This is what's going to happen. People like Diva, that's pushing for this, she's going to get what she wants. She's going to get the public system, and people that can afford it are going to pay private doctors, and they're going to get the better service because, you know, you're getting paid by what you do. You're going to be graded, whereas with the government,
it's
whatever.
How
you can kill people.
It's a public option system. For those who want to go on the public system, hey, you take the chance. You sign up for that. You take what comes with that. For those who want to remain in private system, okay, you take that and you take the chance. Whatever comes
given that this country is about to go bankrupt, though, I mean, is this the best time to take over the largest part. We're already bankrupt, right? You know that. You agree. Yeah. You've agreed to that before. So can we afford to do that? Other people could afford to do it in the 30s and 40s after World War II. They were rebuilding. They like in England. That's when all this stuff came in after World War II, where they could set it up. But now our system's already toppled over, and so now we're going to go ahead and finish toppling it over, and we can't afford to do it. Just like with the analogy when we was off the phone, we was talking about with black people can't afford certain things. Other races, an Asian guy go out and kill somebody is different than if a black guy, because the black guy, your system is already, you got so much all against you already, and you're going out doing things that don't make sense. It's the same thing.
Hey, Diva, who do you want cutting open the top of your head? Dr. Ben Carson or the guy who went to online university from Podunk, Iowa? Because
what does that have to do with whether you have
–
I'm pretty sure if Dr. Ben Carson accepts Medicaid, I would have him cut on my head.
I'll guarantee you wouldn't.
No, the doctors are taking Medicaid and getting all their money on the dollar
amount. It doesn't have anything to do with which school they go to. I have one of the top oncologists in the state.
Yeah, you do right now, Diva. Wait, Diva. Yeah, you sure do right now.
But you won't.
You won't after this mess hits.
Diva, when the private insurers are no longer subsidizing your Medicaid, you won't have those options. That's what we're trying to explain to you.
Here's the only thing that gets me about you guys. I'm not going to say that's not the case. I can't say that. But so far, you guys have been saying the same thing for every government program that's been implemented, and it's not
been
the case.
No, we haven't. That's a lie. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Stop
it. They didn't say the same thing about Medicaid.
No, it's a lie from the pit of hell. You guys who? Who are the you guys?
Hey, well, I'm sorry. Not you two personally, but the right. Come on. Anybody who wants a smaller government.
We're not talking as rights. We're not talking as rights.
This is mathematics.
Yes, exactly. And this is what we were saying this morning when we were talking about stuff on Facebook. You don't understand that right now your government owns your behind. Okay. When this health care system hits and it goes into effect in two more days, January 1st, they own you because they've made you have to buy something that even if you can't afford it, you better not own anything because they'll come take it because they can. It's written in the law.
Well,
and
if
that's
you really
the
can't,
problem.
If you genuinely – no, well, that's
if
where you're wrong.
If you genuinely can afford it and you don't
if you
buy
genuinely,
it,
if you
something's
genuinely
wrong with you.
Can't afford it, there's subsidies, my understanding.
Well, up until $50,000. Once you make over
$50,000, I'm sure you don't have any property or things for them to take.
But Brown,
of work
Brown, the problem with
so.
The subsidies are you have to make all the payments all year, and then at the end of the year you get it back in the form of a tax refund. So
not
if
my understanding, but I don't know.
That's not my understanding either. How government subsidies work
exactly
is they work immediately.
That's what my CPA tells me.
Well, but...
When government says a subsidy or a tax, sometimes the words is funky, but I think this is
supposed to. But what if someone genuinely can't afford it? What if someone is unemployed?
Let me ask you this, Brown. Let me ask you this though: if you make $60,000, if you make $80,000 or $90,000 household income, you are considered. They judge you that way. They say, okay, well, this guy makes too much. Just like the student loan program, I mean the grant program. Certain people don't apply. To the grant program because they just won't get them. And then you got to go into debt getting loans. So it just depends. Everybody don't make that small amount of money. So there are a lot of people in the middle that's about to get hit. Those are the middle class people that he said he was going to help, that are the ones that make too much but not enough. That they make too much but not enough to really pay out their pocket. Those are the ones that's about to get hit. People like, I don't know, Diva or something, she's probably going to get all the free stuff she can, but other people ain't.
A family of four who is making $80,000 a year now qualifies for the subsidies under the under that law.
California.
It has to be in California or New York. It can't be no place else. And what about you if you're only making $40,000 a year? Okay, and they ain't going to get
Ohio.
Diva,
I mean, a family
I don't qualify for a subsidy, and I can't afford to buy my wife.
You are on a different type of insurance, Jeff. Come on,
Diva,
now let's
My wife is on no insurance, and so if she loses her job or this or other, okay.
Looking on the exchanges.
Diva,
to see if she qualifies.
Do you think I'm stupid, Diva?
Then you don't
really
know.
Don't answer that, Diva. Does she answer that? She can answer that, Brown. And I'm gonna say, do you really think I'm stupid?
We can't afford it.
You know how much her thing is gonna be a month. If she loses her job and she has to go on these exchanges, it's gonna be $700 and something a month. I can't afford.
Why does she have to lose her job?
Alex.
Because she only works part time, Diva.
So she can't go on exchanges and still work?
Well, did you hear what I just said?
She
doesn't need to go on exchange while she's working.
Alabama, hold on, though.
I'm going to let you in there. Understand something, Diva. Once again, I'm not stupid. I'm an old man. I know a whole bunch of stuff. I knew a bunch of this stuff, and I saw it coming down the tracks. Now, I know a lot of y'all that don't do nothing, didn't ever own no business, and never managed anything, never did anything, don't have the faintest idea what it is to survive. But I do, and I'm going to tell you this once again. The government has taken the American dream and shoved it up your behind. They have said to you, you must buy this product, and then if you can't afford it, they can take your property, and they can take your money, they can tie up your bank account, they can do whatever they want to, tie your property up.
Well,
and you're talking about
Jeff, you
the IRS.
One point,
is that,
Jeff.
Wait a minute, Brown, I'm not done. I'm railing here now. I'm going to rail for a minute. Now check this out. Now you're going to say, well, you know, the IRS has been taking property from people for taxes. I didn't say nothing about no freaking taxes. This is a commodity that you must buy. You got to buy it. They done took your money and pissed it away. Listen.
You don't have to buy it.
Once again, they took your money for a website. Now it's up to $1 billion that they spent on this stupid behind website.
You're talking about the one
Let's give it $10 million it should have cost you. $10 million it should have cost you. It cost you over $600 million when they dropped it out, right, Six?
Yep.
And now it's up to almost $1 billion with the fixes that they put in it so that they could get 1 million people on, 1.1 million.
After they canceled 5 million.
But they canceled 5 million. And then those people still haven't all paid for their plan.
Just wait until next month because if it's like anything else, you got a bunch of people that signed up, and when that bill hits the mailbox, it's going to go in a trash can.
There you go. Alabama,
hold on,
go ahead.
Jeff, there's a point that I think we're missing. We're up here arguing that the government has got it set up where these people got to pay $1,200 and $1,000 more than their rent in a lot of states, right, for insurance. But don't worry about it because they're going to give us tax dollars in the form of a subsidy to pay for it. And that's okay as long as the consumer doesn't have to pay, and if they get it down to $300 a month or whatever, then it's okay for them to charge, for them to take $900 a month in taxpayer dollars and suck it from some poor soul somewhere and give it to them. Not everybody, it's just they're not taking – that's what I'm saying. Like, the argument is flawed on the surface. All you have to do is look at the prices. I don't care if you need a subsidy. The problem is it's just like education. Education is overpriced. I don't need – even if you do look at the grant or student loans, it's still overpriced. Just like this healthcare system, the way they set it up, is overpriced. If you need a subsidy, that's a problem because that means they got to take that from somebody else. I know Diva don't care about the government printing money, but I do.
Here's my problem with you, Alabama. You always making these assumptions,
But Diva, you've been arguing. You don't care.
You've never heard me say that I don't care about them printing money.
You're trying to justify the bill by saying it makes sense to print off $900 a month.
Alabama, let her finish, man.
never heard me say that I don't that they could just they should just print more money. If you would just pay attention to what I'm saying, then you would hear me say, look, that is a problem that needs to be worked. I don't know how they're going to deal with it, but it needs to be dealt. It needs to be dealt with. So quit making assumptions, please. Then we won't have to have these petty back.
But Diva, you make statements. You make statements that make it seem as though.
Have programs that we could pay for that they don't have to borrow money, they don't have to print more money.
Where is that program at?
Diva, no,
what
you can't.
What program is that?
Yeah, you
can.
It's about balancing.
No, you can't.
It's about balancing.
It's mathematics.
I do it on
let
daily
explain changes. The mathematics of how that works.
Yeah, tell us where are you going to get the money from for those programs? See,
from somewhere. You have to cut some. Yes, you do. You have to cut somewhere else to pay for something you want. That's just how. That's how basic economics should be. I'm not going to go and steal money from a bank because I want my daughter to go to a private school. I'm going to have to cut out some of my expenses.
Money from me. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. But you'll have the government steal money from your next door neighbor for something you want.
Lord have mercy. Here you go with this stealing money.
Well, that's what it is.
I don't have energy today to argue about your premise.
That's because, Diva, that's
stolen.
Because you're arguing a losing battle.
I think that I don't
you
have
can't.
Any money in and taking everybody's money. That's silly.
When the government,
me walking
when the
into
government
your house,
takes money,
and coming to take
the
your
takes
TV
money
that
from
you,
one person and gives to another person, okay. It's theft.
That's called redistribution of wealth, not theft.
No. Okay, now here you go.
Theft by any other name is still theft.
See that? When you said that redistribution of wealth, that's what's going to cause the uprising in this country. Because
you can argue that. I'm not going to argue that point.
You're not the only person on this phone or listening. So I'm going to explain it for that. People are sick of people taking their money in taxes more and more each year and pissing it away down a drain. That's what they're doing. And the whole thing is they are taking your livelihood or your ability to make a living for the people that work and giving it to people that don't work. And that's the problem.
Like the government of Egypt?
Probably.
Diva, there's a growing resentment in the middle class of this country when they see people with direction cards, with iPhones, and with things that their families can't afford, and grocery baskets heaped full of stuff that they can't afford when they're paying cash. And there's a growing resentment coming.
And that's called
envy.
And I'm sorry. I have an iPhone. It's cheaper to have an iPhone. It's cheaper to have a cell phone than it is to have a landline.
A penny, baby. I mean, that don't mean that you get an iPhone for a penny.
That makes you envious. If that makes you envious, then you've got an issue. If you are envious of somebody who is having to use a food card to buy groceries and you can afford to buy with cash, something is wrong with your mental health.
Explain to me how.
May I say something? Sticks brought up a very good point, and I want to.
Sticks was making a point, and y'all just jumped all over him. Let him make his point. That'll be your point.
He made a very good point.
How can it be considered
about
envy?
Resentment.
How can it be considered envy when the person in line paying cash knows that EBT card was money that came out of their pocket?
Well,
go ahead, Brown.
No, you're right, and there have been periods living in Los Angeles, and I can't tell who's an illegal immigrant or not. I don't let that bother me. People are people. Borders are man-made. But there have been times when I've been in the market, and this is when I was far more liberal. We get a little more conservative as we get older. And I would be on a budget that week. I could spend $60 on groceries. And so I had to shop and pick and choose and do without some things maybe that I wanted. And then when I see someone, with their cart just filled up, two carts filled up full of food and four or five kids with them, I would feel a little resentment. I was like, wow. I would giggle about it, but the way that I would do it, I would say, well, I just have to motivate myself to do more. But that does build resentment. And that's a one place where I would feel some type of resentment.
I've always looked at it as I was lucky enough to not have to be put in that situation.
I feel that
even
way.
I feel
that way too, and this resentment happens every now and then, not all the time, because usually I'm able to go to the store and get whatever I want.
Diva, I'll guarantee you never had $5,000-$6,000 taken out of your check for taxes. Guarantee
Ooh.
You.
I want
now,
you. Yeah,
I'll tell you.
I can see why
My mom and dad sold the farm. The cap gains on that farm for a lifetime of work. They wrote a check for $50,000 to the federal government. $50,000 after a lifetime of work.
And that's a what, 30%?
Well, the government is a passive partner in every business started in the country. Every business, you get 33. Because if Brian, if I came and say, hey, Brian, you got to give me 33% of your business, you would have to call me a partner. So they feel like they're a partner. And I've even heard some Democrats say they're allowing us to run businesses. They allow us to keep what we bring home. So,
yep,
I mean, that's just the mentality.
There's a lot in the Democrat Party. I don't want to say all Democrats. There's a lot in the Democrat Party that feel like the government owns everything and we get to keep what they tell us.
Well, I guess now you know how wealthy pacifists feel, who feel like their money shouldn't go on certain things, their tax dollars shouldn't be spent on certain things, but it is. I mean, that's just the nature of government.
Listen. Stupidity, necessity to survive is a whole total different thing from pissing money away down a drain. I'm sorry. Now,
well,
you won't let
that,
people
isn't
work.
Isn't that subjective?
No, it's not subjective. It is absolutely. Then you let Russia continue to put subs off our southern coast, okay, and not do something about it.
No, Jeff. You're going to invade a country that really wasn't bothering us, that had nothing to do with us.
What did you say?
That's pissing away money.
Wait a minute. What did you say? What did you just say didn't have to do with us?
I don't know a war.
And guess what? Republicans started two wars, both in the Middle East, and the Democrats started every single other freaking one of them. So now, let's stop this warmonger craziness that I hear daily as well.
And not only that, in the Iraq war, it was a bipartisan. There was authorization for use of force. It was a bipartisan bill. It was a legal bill. It was passed through the House and the Senate, and we had 14, I believe there was 14 countries that went with us, and a U.N. resolution for use of force.
There was no U.N. resolution. The U.N. voted against it.
And guess what, Stick?
Sure
guess
that,
what?
Brown?
The ACA
I'm
was
pretty
passed
sure
by both
that,
houses
they
of
went,
Congress,
I'm pretty sure,
and
I'm pretty
into
sure
law, and upheld by the Supreme Court.
By both parties.
I'm pretty sure
there was
I'm
not
pretty
a
sure
single
George
Republican...
Was, went around, went around the U.N. I'm pretty sure of that.
Hey, it's me, Jeff.
Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah,
hello, Steve.
Hi, Diva. Diva, I agree. I mean, I'm for redistribution of wealth myself.
Oh, Lord.
In some ways, I can understand where the Republicans are coming from, but on the other, I mean, you conservative people can coming from. But on the other hand, I'm also for, I am for redistribution of wealth.
Okay, redistribution of what wealth?
Well, you know, I think if the Congress, if there were more, and I'm really for hoping that the Democratic Party or the Republicans would get out of the office, get more Democrats who would go along with the president. He could get his, things passed where the very wealthy and the corporations will start paying their fair share in the tax.
Oh, God, stop it.
And remember,
stop it. Wait,
Steve, stop that.
I
can't let you go there. 47% of the people in this country pay no federal income tax.
Thank you. And 10% of the people pay almost 50%.
But
shut up.
How come wealthy people continue to
that 40% still works.
They don't. You show me wealthy people that aren't paying any taxes.
There are plenty. How come you have
when they say 47% don't pay
poor Steve.
Okay.
Plus they have what they call these loopholes and everything else. They have ways of getting off on
Steve,
the
you have no idea what you're talking about.
Hey, I want to go back to Brown.
Hold on. Can I interject something, guys?
Steve, corporate welfare is corporations and businesses that create wealth in America to keep the people informed, to keep employees.
Yeah, that's the real reason why we're in a debt.
You're in a debt because the Democrats piss away money down the drain by buying votes. That's why you're in debt.
I want to go back to Brown.
We're also in debt because we're in the
I'm getting
war.
Ready to hang you didn't run up. Look, President Obama ran up almost twice as much money as Bush did on the wars. So let's just stop it.
Yeah, but, I mean, he wouldn't be over there if it wasn't for the Bush administration.
Who wouldn't be over there?
Who brought us over in Iraq and Afghanistan?
She's getting your people killed left and right by stupid rules of engagement. So I
don't want to offend Diva or whatever, but I believe our president, he's a puppet, so to speak. He's going along with the so-called military complex.
No, he hasn't. Steve, stop.
Yes, he is.
Steve, you have nothing.
He's doing exactly what Eisen.
Local caller, you're in there. If you can make more sense than that.
Hey, D,
how are you?
You guys have a real good conversation going, but
I was going to tell you, I had experience years ago as a landlord.
Hold on, 330. Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay, I had experience years ago as a landlord where we had a duplex, and we paid all the utilities, and the girl that we rented to was on welfare with a child. And after a few months of living there, she stopped paying her rent. And that was bad enough because we were paying the utilities and the she left lights on all day long, outside lights, porch light.
Oh, yeah.
Because we were paying the bill.
Yep.
She didn't care if the toilet was running. She didn't jiggle the handle. She didn't tell us. But the bottom line was, the worst thing was, she moved some friends in. And the process of evicting somebody takes some time. They can get extensions.
Yep.
And we're stuck during that time. And that really opened my eyes. And I thought, how unfair. I mean, if she would have paid us something, if she would have said, can I move in a friend who can, help contribute to the rent, none of that. No responsible behavior. Just she was taking advantage. And now I heard of a case now where there's a woman who is disabled, living in a government high-rise, who took in a relative, a younger, I think it was a son, who has emotional problems and isn't working, and she's being evicted. And all these people are coming, to bat for her, which I understand and I have sympathy. But the bottom line is, what's happening there is the same thing that happened to us as landlords. And you have, the government can't allow people to just move everybody into these complexes. They have a standard. And I think what happens is people feel sympathy for somebody, and then they try to change the system. And what's happening is we've got all these people sympathetic to persons in need, and they say, well, cover them. But if you cover one, you've got to cover all when you make it,
right.
An exception. And that's what's happened in this country. We have, no longer is it that you're responsible and you'll make a way and you'll do something. It's that, oh, I don't have a program for my need. Well, then I'll lobby that they develop one.
That's right.
And the other thing that's upsetting me right now is with all these people, good, hardworking people who are getting, like your wife's situation where she's no longer going to be covered with your plan, if they have diabetes, heart problem, high blood pressure, that's going to be a pre-existing condition. When this thing collapses, then they're going to be stuck. Who's going to be able, who's going to be able to pick up insurance if the insurance companies say, well, you have a pre-existing condition? We've put a lot of people in jeopardy who weren't in jeopardy.
Well, they're not going to be able to do anything about the pre-existing condition, but you're going to see the rationing is what we're going to see. Don't go nowhere, D. I got to bring up 330-221. 330-221, you're in there.
Yeah, okay. People that are talking, they're very interesting. They're talking about things that the government has an agenda. And one of the things I looked at is a model before this. And I would ask you, being that you are into Christianity, take a look at the history of Joseph, because Obama is paralleling Joseph. And when Joseph left office, after he died, he left Egypt in a very bad condition. And you find that written in the last part of, I think it's the book of Genesis, where he died and how he left them. But this same thing is happening here in this country. And somebody may mention the fact that the government owns you. And through
yes.
taxation, that is very true. And we have been programmed from the cradle to the grave in the last 100 years. Well, anyway, the last 70 years in particular, that we are free. And as long as you're in the working class, and some of the people I call sharecroppers think they have something because they make a million or two a year, those people are sharecroppers and will fare worse than the slaves, which I'm a part of, the slaves. And I recognize the fact that just because I'm able to pay taxes on my little bit of property, I got a little bit of property out here, doesn't mean that they're not going to come and just take my property, because this is what's coming down. This country is doing the same thing today as Rome did when Nero was fiddling. We are taking
that's true.
We're taking money from the people that have supported the government, and we're giving it to the people that we are supposed to be at odds with. Now, from what I just heard here, the Islamists is setting up cities in this country whereby you may not be able to travel through that city unless you are of the Islamic faith.
Right.
All others, and so I understand they have 38 cities right now. And we know that they have petitioned to have the Sharia law passed for this whole country. And
we have a Sharia law. Wait a minute. We have a Sharia law czar. Now, we've never had a Sharia law czar before. You tell me, because I'm going to tell you, you want that to be, you want to tear this thing apart? Oh, you go ahead and do that. You go right ahead and do that. And I tell you what, you're going to have a whole lot of suicide bombers to stop some stuff, because there's going to be some folks that's going to be throwing lead. Because I'm telling you, the minute that I come up under Sharia law, it's over.
Well, I agree with you 100%, but here's the thing. The question is this. What if they have taken away, tried to take away all the guns? Well, when they found out they couldn't just up and take away all the guns, what they did, they quit selling ammunition.
Right.
So a lot of people who don't have the know-how to make ammunition, what little bit of ammunition they got, how long is it going to last? And with the new armor they have now, your ammunition is useless.
Yeah, that's the truth. Somebody's making a whole lot of noise. I have to find you and shut them off. No, it's not.
Jeff, I love
does
you,
that
Joe.
Gentleman also know about how the EPA is going to be restricted because they say that it's a toxin. So they're going to. If you did try to make your own bullets, I don't know how you would find lead.
Well, no, you can. What they did was they closed the only lead smelting operation in the United States.
In the United States.
Which meant you can't make lead from scratch.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to have to collect your lead from either old batteries or recycle it wherever you can find it.
Yeah.
It used to be on my top. But the bottom line
Hold on, Obama. He's finished. Let him finish.
Yeah, the bottom line is that our government has seemed to restrict certain things to cripple us. And my question is, for what purpose? This is world control that we are dealing with. This is not just the United States.
Well, look at what they've done with energy. The price of gasoline, diesel fuel's doubled.
That's right.
Electricity's up 20% since President Obama took office.
Food prices
are going up 5.5% year over year.
Okay.
You know, when this first started, there was somebody I heard, they said, everything you want is going to be really cheap, and everything you need is going to be really expensive.
Right, absolutely. Now, one of the things is, back during the second, at the beginning of the Second World War, I don't know how many of you guys remember that, but I do, President Roosevelt put a rationing on, and he said, this is the ceiling for prices, period.
Right.
You mean to tell me, and they had free enterprise back then, just like they got now, you mean to tell me that all these presidents has come up since the actor, that they couldn't put a stop on the price rise on the thing, gasoline in particular, that we need in order to function?
You can't. And here's why. Because Nixon tried to do it. Nixon put wage and price controls in place. And what happens was you ended up with shortages. Because when you limit the price on something, what then the producer can't reclaim his costs for creating that item. If it costs me $10 a gallon to make gasoline and you tell me I can only sell it for $5, I'm not going to make any gasoline.
No. During the Second World War, it was right after the Depression. People weren't making any money. And the people...
FDR didn't wage and price control. Because of the war, they rationed things. You could only buy so much because of the war effort. You were given stamps that said you could only buy X number of gallons of gasoline a week, and you could only buy X number of pounds of meat a week.
Yeah, but
that was rationing. It wasn't price controls.
But yes, it was. You couldn't charge but so much for rent. You couldn't charge but so much for gasoline. No matter what the shortage was, you couldn't charge over a certain amount.
Even if what you're saying Roosevelt did was, would you think it wasn't good? Because Roosevelt, a lot of his stuff, the New Deal, a lot of that stuff, messed us up, screwed us. We're messed up now because of guys like him.
Because of him. Yep.
Everybody
screwed the works up.
Everybody was working who wanted to work when the war got started. And my question is, with all the plants shut down and the poverty that was going around at that particular time, how did the plants and everything get refunded in this country?
They needed their product.
There's a couple of things you got to remember about that. One, The United States, even come out of the Depression, was the largest creditor nation in the world. More people owed us money than we owed money. And now we're the largest debtor nation in the world.
Okay.
You have to remember
What switched the thing around?
And you also have to remember that during the Depression would have been over in 18 months if Roosevelt hadn't stuck his fingers in it.
That's right.
And you also have to remember that about half of the New Deal was already in place when he took office, and Herbert Hoover put it in office because he was also a progressive. He also believed in government intervention.
Well,
and you also have to remember, with the advent of the war, you took about half of the men of working age out of the workforce and sent them to Europe to get shot at.
Well,
the
things was bad before the war. During the war, things began to progress, and it progressed until 1948. In 1948, it was allowed to move manufacturing out of this country. And from then on, it started a downhill thing. In 1953, we almost went into we went into a recession as we did in 1948. And it's been a a stair step going downhill ever since.
This is true. Go ahead, because I got to bring 626 in here next. Go ahead, Bonnie.
I just read an article in the paper about how January 1st you're no longer going to see incandescent bulbs manufactured.
Right.
So the 20, 40, and 60 watts are going to be gone. Now, you stop and think how intrusive that is for the government to say you no longer get something that and you know how sticks the sand, you know, it'll come down to you'll have things available to you that you don't want, but you won't have the things that you need. And I think, you know, there's just too much intrusion into our lives to say you're only going to be able to have this. You know, I mean, just to stop and think how we would feel. I think we've talked about the movies, but, you know, that Soylent Green, where that's the only thing you have to eat.
Right, right. Exactly.
Who would really want one of those old light bulbs?
Diva, how are you going to just cut through somebody's conversation like that?
I thought I'm sorry, cut off. I didn't.
They got it.
That's
because she's a liberal, Jeff.
But I
get cut off by conservatives all the time.
My life.
Well,
no, I don't either.
I mean, what business, really, in all honesty, what businesses are the governments? How much water my toilet uses, or how much electricity my light bulb uses, as long as I got the money to write the check for it?
That's right. That's right.
626, you're in there.
Hey, Jeff, this is Lisa. How you guys doing?
How you doing, Lisa?
Well, I was doing good till I went on the healthcare website. Because, you know, I was thinking how you hear a lot of stuff on the news. Because I know Diva had said something, if you make $80,000, you get a subsidy. So I'm still looking for that subsidy. I was on the website a few minutes ago, and I make under $80,000. It's just a mess.
You got four kids?
No, and that's my problem. If I had four kids, I would qualify for welfare and everything else. But
go adopt you a few and save money on your health care.
You know what? I need to, because at this point I don't qualify for anything because I had the number of kids I could afford.
And you go ahead and adopt you four kids, and you'll qualify for some of the mental health.
This is what I was talking about. The cost of living in California is much higher.
Yeah,
and
not
still
only that,
suffer.
Though. Exactly, and I work every day. And not only that, on the news last night, they were talking about
too much.
Me. And I don't even make that much. And the thing about it is, on the news last night, they were talking about illegal aliens. And how, because you guys know Los Angeles is a sanctuary city, how they're afraid to sign up because they don't want to give the government their information because they're afraid that they're going to get deported.
Can
so
you
they're
blame
not
them?
Even. Exactly. So who's going to be signing up for this? And we have
but
a
then,
large
I mean,
population
smart,
of illegal aliens.
But don't you think that's smart? I mean, if you can get stuff off the system without giving them your information and they're going to give you stuff, why would you give them your real accurate information? Just keep
and
leeching
really,
them. I mean,
know,
that's what they're doing.
Yeah.
If you
and
give
you know,
up,
Obama passed, you know, and Obama passed the Dream Act, right? So they get to go to college when they're an illegal alien. And I was sitting up here sweating,
man,
trying to fill out the FAFSA for my daughter, and because I got child support, I had to put that on there because they count that
you
as income.
You can make too much?
You know what? I barely made it, by the grace of God. I barely made it. But my daughter right now is going to a two-year college when she transfers to
Wait, 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 wait,
university.
So you have a child and you still don't qualify for the government subsidy? You don't qualify for the government subsidies on ACA?
No, 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 for college. I'm talking about for college.
No, 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 I'm talking about the
Well, because right here in California, it's called California, Covered California or something like that. It's a totally different website. So when I put in my information, so far it's saying I'll be paying $343 a month if I were 35 years old. I'm 44.
Well,
okay.
We're going to break now. Hold on, everybody. We'll be right back after these messages. Top of the hour news. We'll be right back.
After
noon with Tracy and Friends.
Listen to Tracy every weekday from noon to 3 on New Stocks.
You can afford that extra couple of hundred dollars a month.
I was about to say,
you know what's so
nobody's going to feel sorry for her.
Let me tell you something.
Nobody's going to feel sorry for her.
I don't know your business.
I pay less than that when you count in my life insurance and all of that stuff.
No, that's your personal business. It isn't the government's place to tell you what, like, you can afford an extra $150. That's
exactly.
Not there. People, you got people that don't have that.
But
can't
see,
that's
do that. The problem. They look at it this way. Oh, you know what, Lisa? You know, you only have one kid, so you can go ahead. You know, you make enough money to subsidize somebody else. It's like I'll never win. How am I supposed to save money?
So, but see, the thing works like this. You got a lot of people that make under $30,000, $40,000 that they're catering to. Those are people that show up and vote for them, right? So they show up and they get this number that sounds like a lot to them, like $80,000, $75,000. Well, yeah, that guy, if I made $75,000, I wouldn't be in a situation, you know, as if, you know, the cost of living and things don't factor into that. That's not what you think it is, especially when they hit you with a higher tax bracket, which once you make over 65,
you know something,
they're taking
Alabama?
30% of my check every time I get a check. It's 30%.
Mm-hmm.
You need to find some exemptions. You know something, Alabama? I would venture to say that the majority of the people, and particularly people making $40,000 a year, really don't understand this Affordable Care Act and all the different
factors. Nobody does.
Nobody.
I agree.
Does.
I agree, Brown.
Yeah, I
Nobody
agree, too.
Does.
I think it sounded good on paper, because I remember
right.
when he first said it. When he said nothing will change, I was like, how can he change the whole entire insurance system as we know it?
Well, that's his...
But not change certain people.
Well, he introduced legislation to do so and got it through Congress and got it signed and stood the test of the courts. I mean,
that's right. That's what that was his plan.
That's America. That's America work. How's it going,
ridiculous.
Joe?
Hey, B's, the reason I'm here is because of you, so how you doing?
I don't know why. Wow. I can tell you this. Mike Alfax jumped into conversation yesterday because someone said wrong, and I'm standing up.
I can't hear you, Brown. Somebody got it up, man.
Okay. Alfax called in yesterday?
No, listen. Let me just say this to Joe because it has me in tears laughing. If you listen to V-Cube show from last night and go to write the 150 about a minute and 58 seconds in, Mike Alfax jumps in out of the blue, because I corrected someone for using the word brung, because brung isn't a word, and he jumped in and conjugated the verb to bring. And he said, bring, brought, brung, and I said, you're right. You don't have to say anything. I'll say it all. I'm going to stand up for the language. He can't continue. I can't allow him to do this. It's embarrassing. But
I feel sorry for people out there in California, man, because I know the prices out there are ridiculous.
I feel sorry for people in Alabama.
No.
What I'm saying, I'm talking about the cost of living compared to the Affordable Health Care Act. I'm not talking about.
It's only money, baby.
I know you love California. I'm just saying. You got to move to Alabama.
They did a study, and they said the only reason why people are staying in California is because of the weather. Back in the day, they used to stay because of the school system and all of that. And we're just here because of the weather. At least I am.
You know, the thing about
you got Florida.
About the Obamacare.
Yeah.
Oh,
no. You know, they be shooting people. They killed a lot of people in Florida this year.
You
know,
it's funny. Anybody read the headline about the liberals when they said, well, I didn't know I would have to pay for Obamacare. I mean, they thought it was okay if everybody else paid, but Jesus, for them to pay? Oh, no.
Yeah, and I guess the thing that gets me is they're going to get you on your taxes. It's like I'm going to make sure you pay one way or the other, and that's stepping over the line right there.
The hook in this, the enforcement arm.
That's scary.
Yeah, the IRS.
Yeah, that's.
I mean, but that's just like saying I'm not going to raise anybody's taxes under $250,000. Then you let the Bush tax cuts lapse, and everybody's tax cuts go up, and they're like, oh, I thought he said. Well, no, I mean, I said I wasn't going to raise them. It's a play on words.
It is. Oh, boy.
Hold on, Joe. You say you're here because of me. I told you about this show. I keep it a secret that I even know these people.
No, I mean, I was surfing, and I heard your voice. So
I really
figured...
do. I don't admit to knowing any of these people.
Oh, my God. I know you.
Huh?
I just heard you. You're on every show. The one show I was listening to, I never thought you'd be on. Nikki Love.
I just pick them and start calling, and if they let me talk, I'm going to go ahead.
Hey, Brown, you ever call Steve? You ever call the man? What's the guy? Steve the Dean Williams?
No, I don't. I didn't.
Yeah, that's the dating show, right?
Yeah, yeah, the man show. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nah,
man mindset.
I haven't.
No, I've called in there. I mean, he was the guy that was the co-host. He was the co-host for Ebony until I took over.
Went out on his own.
Well, I think Ebony had enough of the people complaining about him. He was the kind of guy that he
served. Oh, he'll insult you. He'll insult you. Now, he's one of those type of guys. You ain't a real man if you ain't fill in the blank. Whatever he feels like a man he is.
Yeah.
Then, you know, that's it. And it's going to be usually something that he just so happens to fit. It's just,
he believes in the alpha male syndrome, and he takes a little bit too far. Just a little bit.
That's a contrast to Ebony, because she's very she's very smooth and diplomatic.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, very. And he's hard on the sisters. He's hard on sisters. He hates black women.
What happened to Mr. Talk, you guys? I haven't heard him in a few days.
Apparently he, from Ebony told me this, because I had to ask her because that's like my favorite show at noon. Have the most fun on that one. Apparently he's on holiday, as she said, until the 6th.
Oh, okay.
And he mentioned that on Facebook, yeah, but it looked like he just disappeared. In fact, a lot of shows have disappeared. There's very few.
I'm glad you asked, because that's one of my favorite shows, too.
Yeah. And I know you guys don't like Perry Steele, but I sure do miss Perry Steele.
I don't like him.
Hey, what y'all think of Alan Roger Curry? What y'all think of him?
I don't know who that is.
He's like the number one dating show on Blog Talk.
Who's that?
Oh, you know what? I know
Alan Roger Curry.
Into his show.
Oh,
I called into his show once or twice. He's one of those types. He feels like if he wants to have sex with a woman or something, he'll just walk up to him and just say it.
And now,
you know, like,
here's
Mo One, Mo One, yeah.
Yes,
and
yes,
we're back
yes.
Once again, afternoon with Tracy and friends, and we're talking to you about health care and whatever else floats your boat. And speaking of boats floating, we're talking about.
Oh yeah.
Well, I got to
do this.
Yeah.
Because I'm looking at the Kaiser Family Foundation subsidy calculator here.
Yeah.
And for my county and my zip code.
Yeah.
40 years old, two kids. Making $80,000 a year. The most that it can cost you out of pocket per year is $21,000.
That's all?
That's with a $2,000 subsidy.
Well, that's a bargain.
What's the subsidy? What did you say about the subsidy?
$700 a year.
God.
And then your deductible,
what's the subsidy?
Before you start paying anything, is $12,700 a year.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Well, wait, say that again. You lost me. They were laughing. I didn't hear you. What was 12.7 a year?
Okay. All right. Okay, your total premium is $10,218 a year. You're going to get a $2,618 a year subsidy, which means your premium is $7,600, but they don't start paying until after you've paid $12,700.
Never mind.
Wow.
Man, I thought it didn't work like that. I'm surprised.
You're out of your maximum. You're out of your maximum can be no more than, you're out of your maximum, not including the premium, can be no more than $12,700.
Yeah,
whether you
hit
this maximum level
will
depend on
your fair share. You make $80,000 a year. You should
pay
your fair share.
That's not money. $80,000 a year is not a lot of money.
No,
and they're going to take 20 and they're going to take 40.
I'm going to do this like this.
The difference is
everybody
in California.
Okay, the huge difference is Alabama and California. Don't just start talking, please. I got too many people here on the line. I got an unlisted caller, and then I got Alex coming up, and then I got Not So Blind. Unlisted caller, you are in the air. Not you, Brown, because you already are on. Go ahead.
You talking about me?
I think if you're unlisted.
Yeah, Mr. Caller. Okay. My name's Joe.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Joe.
Hey. I wanted to find out.
Happy New Year to everybody, by the way. Go ahead.
What do you guys think about the rumor that Obamacare was designed the way it was designed to fail on purpose?
Absolutely.
I concur.
Okay, why?
Because he wants to go to single payer, because that's what he said in the first place. Well, he's not a communist. He's a Marxist. He's a somebody. Oh, come on, 626, is that you?
It ain't me.
Yes, it is. No, that's 626. I had to let it go.
Well, he's a proponent of backdoor, or he's a proponent of single payer, and he knew the only way he could get single payer was to collapse the current system.
Absolutely, and that's what he's doing.
Here's why I asked that. Okay, now supposedly the agenda was to make it collapse so that everybody can go to single payer. But why would that benefit him, his credibility, or the future credibility of the future president, if when this particular system collapses and it's being run by the government, why would anybody trust the government in the future to go into single payer?
It'll be too
late.
Because
there'll be no other options. Yeah, there'll be nobody else. Yeah, it'll be so bad, that's the only option.
Private insurance would be too high?
No, it'd be non-existent.
Non-existent at all.
Yeah.
This is about an elitist group of people who really believe they know what's better for you than you do, because after all, you're stupid. And then you got the other factor of everybody's got to be made equal because of the fair share rule. That's what this is about.
Well,
and I'm not a conspiracy theory person. Most of the people know that about me. But you can just see where it's going. He's doing everything he can do to make it so difficult on private insurance companies with this constantly, okay, turn the switch back on. No, turn the switch off. No, turn it back on. No, give back those policies you took away. He's going to paint them to look like the bad guys. That'll be the talking point a year from now. And he's looking to collapse them and go to single-payer government, run it, because that gives the government the control over one-sixth of the economy and gives them a lot of control over you.
Okay. The thing is, though, if he does that, if there's no private insurance, that means they have to collapse. That particular industry has to collapse.
Mm-hmm.
Again, why would people then trust him? Okay, of course people will say, well, the only alternative is the government. But then that's the huge wake-up call. Because
it should be. It should have been when you had insane behind Nancy Pelosi saying to we've got to pass the bill before we
find
out what's in it.
Right.
Understand something and listen to this right now, and this will explain to you.
Trust is irrelevant when you have no choice.
But if it's a huge wake-up call at that particular time,
they're
then what does he expect the people to do?
They can get it in place.
Hold on.
Yeah, but see, America's not
Hold
run
on.
Like a professional football
Alabama.
Team waiting for all the coaches. Go ahead.
I'm going to have to hold everybody up because you ain't listening to me. Okay, here we go.
I want to make a distinction between a universal plan versus a single-payer plan, because those are two different things. A single-payer plan would be a plan like Medicare for All or the kind of plan that they have in Canada, where basically government is the only person, is the only entity that pays for all health care. Everybody has a government-paid-for plan.
Hold on. Give me one more second.
I have not said that I was a single payer.
He's lying. He's a liar.
How do we get the federal government to take care of this business? I happen to be a proponent of a single payer universal health care plan.
Okay, now, the president is a serial liar. He's a pathological liar because he lies for no reason. Most of the time, and once again, this is what he just did, where he said he was not for a single payer. I didn't say I was a proponent of single payer, and so you know it's something that you know that they're saying this and they're going for this. He is what's called a progressive. The progressives are the elitist of the world. And their goal is one world government, and their ultimate goal is to wipe out so many people so that they only have 550 million people on Earth. That's what you have to understand, and this is who he is. Everybody that thinks he's for them and in their corner and he identifies, he does not identify with you. This is a huge, crazy thought on your behalf because you watched this man come up. You looked at his background. Oh, God, who's making all that noise? 626, you got to be out. Okay, and you know, the thing is it doesn't make any sense for you to not believe what the man wrote in his book. You got what's this one?
I got it.
Okay, hold on 1 second. We're going to play this other clip. Go ahead.
And how do we get the federal government to take care of this business? I happen to be a proponent of single-payer universal health care plan.
You just did that one.
Okay.
Same one. Okay, but listen. You put him in charge twice with a rah-rah, sis-boom-bah on some BS. And now you're going to suffer the consequences of doing that. You're not going to like rationing. You're not going to like it when grandma can't get a pacemaker because she's 82 and they can't afford to spend money on grandma because she's 82. So grandma just got to go the way. Understand, that's what you just did. Understand that 2 days from now, that's the system that you have. And unless you get in there and change this thing during the midterms, you will not have your own freedom back again. You won't have it. Now, unless there's an uprising, a very serious one, you're going to be in trouble. Alex, go ahead.
How you guys doing? I wanted to answer the last guy's question, what he asked about, you know, why would people trust the government, but whatever. You know, I think it was Blind Mike, not so Blind Mike, that he made the first good point that I was thinking of is that these people are elitists. Obama is definitely an elitist, and elitists pretty much rule, I think, both parties, Democrat and Republican. They think we know what's best for you, and so we're, you know, we're going to rule over you. And so that's the first aspect of it. The second aspect of it, I think we saw a little bit of it earlier in your show with Diva when she was talking about, well, there's your free market system. Well, this is the furthest thing from a free market system, but unfortunately, the media and progressives have programmed people to think that way, that they think that, well, they think that the actual antithesis of free market is they call it free market, so that when this does fail, the people are going to say, they're not going to blame the government. They're going to say, see, this is why the free market mm-hmm. doesn't work. And we see it over and over again. The mm-hmm. government, they get so involved where they make it just impossible for the free market to work. And then when it finally mm-hmm. crashes and burns, then they say, this is why the free market can't work, which is why we need more government. And
yeah.
and we already see it happen. That's exactly what's going to happen. And that's what they're anticipating. And so then right. they're going to say, well, this is why we need a single payer system. But one thing I want to point out, and I sent this to Tracy. I don't know. I'm not on Facebook anymore, so I don't know if she put it up there and you guys saw it. But what people don't realize in this current law, you know, people who are low income that can't afford to buy insurance, they get covered by an expansion of Medicare. Well, what people don't realize is that if you look at the fine print of the paperwork that you have to sign, what it says is that all expenses paid by Medicare will come from your estate when you die, which means you can't actually own anything, and you are literally property of the state, and people just do not realize what they have done. Once you get into this abyss, there is no getting out of it, because you know you'll never be able to leave a house to your children. You'll never mm-hmm. be able to save up money to buy a home or a business and leave it to your children, because as soon as you die, the government's going to take it for whatever cost that you've done for your preventative care, any medicine, doctor's visits, and God forbid you had any kind of operation, the government's going to get it. And it's, you know, people don't understand just how bad this thing is. That's all.
No, Yeah, go ahead.
That says a lot about the American people being the most apathetic sheep on the planet. All right, because again, if this particular theory is really true, that the single payer system is going to come in, and then all of a sudden the insurance companies are going to go away because people don't want the insurance companies around, or because the president mandates it, and if people don't do anything at that particular time, and if they're signing this, I can understand people signing this particular agreement out of desperation, out of the mandate that came down from Washington. But if after this, those two particular scenarios, if people don't do something then they might as well just, you know, call a cab and say, take me to the nearest gulag. Because that's it.
That's what the FEMA camps are for.
Mm-hmm.
And see, nobody...
Go ahead.
I was trying to finish. You come in right after me. That's what we're trying to tell you. That's what the FEMA camps are there for. They're there for that specific reason, because once you get into this state, we're the only nation where you can build wealth because you can own your own property and the minerals under it.
Yep.
They have just wiped that out. First time in the history of the United States of America.
That's right. This is the only nation on the planet where when you own a piece of real estate, you own the minerals.
And that is no longer... They can do whatever they need by hook or crook to get your land from out under you. And so now they marginalize us, and we're all the same as any other nation in the world. And then they can bring in a one-world government, probably a trilateral government, and then they'll make it a single one.
It started with the 16th Amendment, because as soon as we passed the 16th Amendment allowing an income tax, you could then be taxed on the very act of living.
We'll be right back after these messages.
There's a depressing thought.
Dr.
Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley, and read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce. The full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
Fit Family. Unique, individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you, with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austintown receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for, with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
Everyone faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care. Everybody faces challenges in their lives. Sometimes these challenges can be too much to handle on our own. That's where Turning Point Counseling can help for depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, drug and alcohol abuse and addiction, personality disorders, crisis intervention, and more. Turning Point also provides residential services in our crisis stabilization unit for those who need inpatient care. Turning Point Counseling Services, helping you on the road to recovery.
This is the Sean Hannity Show.
Now, when liberals use the Bible and Christianity to advance their progressive ends, well, the mainstream media agrees with them. For them, it's just, oh, yeah, I agree with that. When a conservative uses the Bible and Christianity to advance a conservative point, they hyperventilate the media. They're warning of a coming theocracy in America.
This is the Valley's home for Sean Hannity. This is News Talk 600.
We're back with Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM, 347-945-5229, or toll-free 1-800-530-WSOM, online at tracyandfriends.com or 600WSOM.com. Now, here's Tracy.
And we're back, and I forgot to let you guys talk in the room. I'm sorry. There's just too much going on. But we want to say this, you know, before we get underway. Happy New Year, blessed and prosperous to everybody. And hope that that this year turns out to be a better year for all of us than the last couple years have been. And we look forward to talking to you. We're going to be going to a new time starting Monday the 6th. We'll be on from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. We'll be on in the morning time now. So it'll be Tracy and Friends. Maybe Tracy and Friends in the morning. Don't know. But, you know, but we'll be, that's what we'll be doing. And we look forward to having as many as you can still hang out with us to do it. And we'll talk to you then as well. But Happy New Year to everybody. God bless you. Okay, callers online. I got an unlisted caller just pulled in. Unlisted caller, you are in the air.
It's just Beasley returning.
Nothing Beasley, I've still got you. Okay, then. Oh, I got you. Okay, very good.
I dropped off, and I just called.
Yeah, I got you. I still got my other caller there, so it's all
I
good.
I thought he looked like MacArthur. He promised he'd return.
Oh. So anyways, Mike, you're our resident insurance expert. What's going on? What's happened? What's the mechanics of all of this?
The insurance companies won't go out of, the insurance companies won't go out of business, but what will happen is at some point they'll deem it not profitable to be in the health insurance arena. Then the entire fabric of health insurance and the many companies that sell it now will whittle down to, into a couple of elite companies, and that's where the rich people will go. And that's the, and pretty soon you'll find those companies also selling the plans to the, you know, people like the Congress and the union officials. There's the top of the unions and the
Absolutely.
CEOs and the boardroom and stuff. They'll become the elite insurance companies, and they'll become the they keep calling them Cadillacs. They'll be more like Ferrari Countach plans, you know. They're going to be the people who can drop $100,000 a year for health insurance, get great coverage, get into every hospital ahead of anybody else, and everyone else, well, you got what you got. And here's what's interesting, too, because if you read Obama's health care and you read in there, at the age of 75 or 77, cancer treatment is basically can be cut off because it's deemed at that point you're beyond the natural life expectancy of a male, which is 76 or 77 years. And the fact that you're still alive and you have cancer, if you live a day longer than that, you still live longer than the average. Well, here's what the unfortunate part is. Statistically, if you make it to 65, you got like a 90% probability you live into your 80s because 56 because 50% of all males in the United States die prior to age 56 because we tend to be the ones that have the dangerous jobs like police officers, mm-hmm. firemen, military, explosive handlers, truck drivers, industrial workers, miners, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
So to say that the average life expectancy of an American male is 75 or 76 is kind of a misleading thing when you look at the actuarial tables when most of the deaths are prior to age 56. You know, young people drunk, getting killed and stuff, all those averages go in there. So this is going to be really something. They are dead.
Now, were you listening when I brought up this subsidy calculator for my county?
No, I didn't hear that.
Okay, I ran the numbers on a 40-year-old couple making $80,000 a year with two kids,
mm-hmm.
and your premium's $10,218 a year, but it's got a $12,700 deductible, and
mm-hmm.
you're going to get a $2,600. You're going to get a $2,600 subsidy.
Mm-hmm.
How's that work for a family, a self-employed guy making $80,000 a year, which you and I both know, after you get done working, after you get done paying everything, is about $30,000 a year.
Yeah, exactly. And what most people don't understand, again, this is more class envy. $80,000 sounds like a lot, but in most parts of the country, $80,000 doesn't even put you into a middle class income as a household income. Because usually in the states where you can earn that kind of money, they're also your high tax states. Like in New York State, people who live in New York City have $6,000 a month of rents because they have to live near their jobs. And yes, they get paid big money, but look at that. They also pay 62% of their income in state, city, county, and federal taxes every year, too.
That's right.
So they may make $200,000-$300,000, and then, you know, and then by the time they pay their rent, the overhead, and everything else, they're really living on about $80,000-$90,000 a year when it's all said and done.
Right.
Who wanted to respond? Was that you, Alex?
I think it was Alex.
Yeah. He was just talking about the insurance, and well, not the insurance, the average age. One thing I just want to note is that if you have an illness, say after 65, and then they say, "Well, yeah, we're not going to cover it because you're past average age," the thing about statistics is that an average is based on the numbers both above and below that number.
Yes.
So as time goes on, that average is going to go down if they just let people die.
Logan's
and
run.
So,
right.
So then
35.
Right now, if you go
eventually, that's what it's going to be. You're
right
going to be, you're over the hill. You're 40. You know.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But right now, if you take out some of the, first of all, there's a couple of interesting statistics in the actuarial tables. Right now, those of you who were late-age boomers, you will have the honor of being the first generation in history to start outliving your children. Because the young kids, they are so unhealthy that you have kids as young as 8 years old having heart attacks. By the way, what I'm quoting you comes out of the CDC in Atlanta,
mm-hmm.
Center for Disease Control.
Not so blind.
Yeah.
That's who's talking.
Yeah, that's it. Not so blind. I was going to say that don't worry about that because they have now made the manufacturers of vending machines have to put on there the calories on all your snacks out of your vending machines. So that's going to stop bad
right.
behavior.
Yeah.
A
12-year-old
sure
is not going to buy that.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Cigarettes will kill you. Putting the skull and crossbone on a pack only made a smoke more. Hey, you're going to die of something.
Yeah,
you know?
No, the calories aren't going to stop anybody.
No, because they're numbers. No. They're meaningless. Because most people don't even know how many calories a day they consume anyway. They wouldn't know a good calorie from a high number or low number. The other statistic I found interesting was baby boomers enjoy yourself. The average baby boomer alive today has the statistical probability that 50% of us will live to be 100 years old.
This is
Woo-hoo.
True.
And that's why they're
yeah.
that's what, see, and they know that number. If a blind guy who used to be in the insurance game 20-odd years ago knows that number, trust me, the people in Washington know that number.
Right, right.
Which
and
is probably why they instituted Obamacare.
Yeah.
I teach
it. Yeah, you're right.
It's more
because
like
they're
Barack
progressive.
Obamacare.
Yeah.
You know,
well, that term progressive, I like the positive connotation of the term. To call Obama a progressive is actually giving some sort of positive connotation.
Sure.
You had said before he probably wasn't a Marxist. I think he's worse than a Marxist. I think he's worse than a communist.
Well, that's one of the ploys of being evil. You hijack nice words for friendly purposes.
Well, see, don't forget that the worldwide progressives are not nice people, though.
And you have to look up, when Hillary Clinton said, I call myself an early 20th century progressive, you have to go back and look at the Fabian Socialists, the Fabian Society, and what that actually means to call yourself an early 20th century progressive. The early 20th century progressives were very evil, evil people.
Uh-huh.
I mean, they believed in eugenics. They believed they believed in a master race. You know,
racial
terrible.
Purity,
But as you said, people would have to go back. Now, how many liberals really go back and look at history?
None.
Well, there you go.
I'm sorry. There Where are you calling from, Doc?
Montana.
Oh, very well.
I beg to differ. I think a lot of liberals go back. They go back. They just clean, whitewash it and clean it up to their advantage. But they go back.
Oh, they write their own history. That's what they do.
I
can't say that the right doesn't do that either.
Now we got the media rewriting.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, now we got the media rewriting the news the day after it happened. They scrubbed that story about that kid that shot up that school being a socialist.
Yeah.
You're talking about Sandy or Newtown?
What about
one
the story
just a couple weeks
out in the New York Times about Benghazi?
That's a perfect example because that's
they're saying now that the original story that this was a reaction to this film.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Which I didn't even believe anymore. Now they're saying that there's some truth to that.
Yeah.
They're liars, though. They're freaking liars because nobody had even seen the doggone film. Don't forget, this is not America where this stuff was at. You don't have free access to the internet and any of that other stuff
and
over there.
There's congressional testimony.
Someone had enough internet to get the film or that was shown in Cairo, the reaction to it.
Brown,
stop it.
There was
just
congressional testimony.
I don't know what
I'm
just paying attention to the story, that's all.
Right, I know, I know. But the congressional testimony was that they asked the ambassador they asked the person who had talked to the ambassador if he had ever mentioned anything about a protest, and the ambassador told him no, that we're under attack.
Not only were they under attack in the days preceding a month, they attacked the embassy 2 months before that on a try to see what the response was going to be
and
put a big hole in the gate.
Libya was in a state of war with NATO at the time. I mean,
no, they weren't.
They were not in. They weren't fighting NATO.
Gaddafi had already been overthrown.
Absolutely.
A quote-unquote stable government. We would not have had
Everybody wasn't complying, and there were still hot spots, and there were still agitators.
We would not have had an ambassador in an unstable nation.
Well, we sure did have an ambassador in an unstable nation. It was so unstable that he ended up dead.
We've got an ambassador.
He ended up dead because Hillary Clinton and President Obama denied sending him help. After he
regardless
begged
of what
for
started
it for three
it, we
months.
Know, we know they had a live feed in the White House within an hour, and it was the drone from drone.
Well, yeah,
they
that was
just
from
easily
from the
hit a button and kill the guys, and they didn't do nothing. So,
but here's the interesting thing about Benghazi. Ordinarily, any ambassador that gets killed that's from any nation is automatically an entry into war. We're not
absolutely.
Why Absolutely. Not? Because of the propaganda of the media. Because the media didn't really focus on that. They focused on, okay, he got killed, what happened? But if the media had changed their attention to, look at what happened to Stevens, he got killed, what are we going to do about it? If the drums were beating the same way they were back in 9/11, we'd be in war already.
They had already waged war and deposed the leader there who had been the leader for 40 years.
No, I'm talking about the war like in Syria, Vietnam, 9/11, et cetera.
What you're saying, I understand
right.
what you're saying, mm-hmm. but you have to look at this in the context. In the context, there was a civil war going on in Libya. United States/NATO took a side, and the side was against Gaddafi. and they were in effect waging war to have Gaddafi deposed.
I mean, they already did that, and plus they had the Middle East, which were still in there. What I'm saying is, that, of course, there's war going on ever since the Arab Spring, which to me was a big false flag deal. Bullshit. But the thing is that ordinarily we would have had the same kind of war like World War I, World War II, because the ambassador had been killed, and nothing happened.
I'm going to rewind a bit, and I hear what you're saying, but if you ask me, one of the biggest atrocities that's happened where the United States didn't go to war, where it seemed fully justified, is back in 1983 when they blew up all those troops in Lebanon when Reagan was president.
Well, let's walk that back one more. We should have went in and turned Iran into powder when under Jimmy Carter.
That's right.
I mean, I firmly believe, and this is just me.
And sacrifice the lives of the hostages?
Yes, absolutely.
Look how many more have died since because we didn't take the place.
And here's why I say that. Just me with a military background, when you go to war, you wage war with scorched earth.
From the Muslim psyche,
from what I understand, is capitulation shows weakness. At that juncture we would have went in and turned Iran into powder, I don't believe we would have had the next 40 years of problems with radical Muslims. That's my own opinion.
That's just like a thug, though. That's just like any thug on the street. If he slap you and you just
maybe
sit there and cry, he's going to slap you again.
It's gotten worse. Look,
we can't turn countries into
parking lots. Our
more vigilant of radical is Muslims.
Wait, but that's I disagree with you, caller, because the thing is, that's what we did to Europe. We turned Europe
did it without A-bombs. So if you're going to turn a country into powder, you're going to turn it into a parking lot. You're setting off thermonuclear weapons, which are going to affect
everybody. No, you don't need
everybody.
To do that. You just turn it into 52.
We didn't say nuke them, but look at what the Vikings did
to
Rome in parts of France when the Vikings gave in to the Vikings.
Turn the 52s loose with conventional bombs until there
is
one brick stand on top.
And what do you think would have happened as a reaction to that? You think the other countries in the Middle East and all around the world, having seen that particular type of awesome power, you think they're going to say, oh, my God, let's just back down? No, they're going to continue and increase building up arms against the United States.
There's no doubt about it, but you don't let them get past you.
Yeah, the other countries didn't have those powers, Joe. They didn't have the economic horsepower to do that. Even the Soviet Union tried to give us a run for our money during the rearmament phase toward the end of the Cold War, and it ended up bankrupting them and destroying them.
Which may have been the exact aim of the Illuminati. If you want to believe it, it didn't happen in the Rothschilds controlling the world and the Rothschilds pitting nation against nation. So that would have given them the perfect excuse to then increase the armaments, to give them more money, and to put them into debt by doing that. Yeah. You just don't.
Sir, if you believe in the Rothschilds, then you already know they own what, $500 trillion worth of wealth
already? Yeah, I already believe that probably they do. I mean, they've been around for centuries. They're not stupid people. Okay.
Whether you call them the Rothschilds or the international bankers, you would your head would have to be in the sand if you didn't realize the power that international banks wield across the world and are involved in every industry and every institution.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they have interlocking board of directors for about over 100 corporations, sure.
Yeah,
That Dick and Jeff should be really worried about living in Ohio. I got a phone call this weekend. A lot of people were calling me asking for my opinion because I'm an expert on this topic. What the heck are you thinking in Ohio? You affirmed the right of blind people to have concealed weapons permits. What is going on with you folks?
Their Second Amendment right.
As a blind person, yes, thank you for my right. Now, where's the responsibility? I shoot at every noise they don't like? I mean, what is this?
I hadn't heard that.
Yeah.
It's our Second Amendment right. Without the Second Amendment, all of our other amendments the Bill of Rights may as well be powder. It's useless without the Second Amendment.
Yeah, I mean, I agree everybody should have
that's
their
what
rights.
I hear. I don't know that I believe that, but that's what I hear.
But as a blind person, I am not going to go for a concealed weapons permit. I just don't want the responsibility.
Well, then, okay, I know you're making a joke, but you don't have to. You know, I mean, a blind man is not going to take out a weapon.
Joe, not so blind Mike is actually legally blind.
Well, I figured he was blind because he said he was.
hey, Mike, you know, I have to say, I don't have a problem with it.
you know, there's, because like I know here in Florida, because I have my concealed weapon permit, but a weapon is not necessarily a firearm. You know, it could be a taser, it could be a knife, a lot of things that a blind person should be able to carry to protect themselves. They don't have to carry you don't have to carry a pistol where there's, you know, there's little probability you're going to hit somebody at a distance. But if someone, you know, comes up on you, you should be able to legally be able to carry something, a reasonable weapon to protect yourself.
Actually, Alex, as a practical matter, a gun, a firearm, is the most practical thing for a blind person to have, because any other type of weapon, you lose the advantage of distance. Because that person is too close to you if you're going to use a knife on it, because they can. It's really hard to do. I know they have lots of great kung fu movies where people supposedly blindfold themselves and take out 83 people all with swords against them, and all they have is, you know, a bungee stick or something. But that's great Hollywood, but that's not the reality of it. Anybody accomplished with a knife standing within an arm's length of you, you're at a tremendous disadvantage. You are better off with the firearm at a distance. And
yeah, but I like your first point. What if the blind man takes out his gun and starts shooting people? I think everybody but the perpetrator is going to get hit.
Yeah. Well, here's the problem with it, and to be very practical about it, and I'll just lay this on you guys who are sighted. How would you like to do something that is really, really critically sight-dependent just after somebody shot you in the eyes with a flash bulb? Would you want to then make your next best move when what you had to do next really depended upon your ability to see? When you start firing firearms around blind people, it takes a while for our hearing to reset again. It's not instant. Now, you guys don't notice it. It happens to you, too, around loud noises, but because you depend upon your sight. But if a noise is loud enough, you even lose your ability to see. That's what these flash whiz-bang grenades and everything are about that they use when they break up hostage situations.
You have a number of things that can be done to do what they want to do, but understand something. This is what you're going to be dealing with over the next couple of years. You're going to, let's go back to the Albert Pike prophecies of war, which was his plans for war that have all come off to a T since he's mentioned them in his writings back in the 1800s. And that is the third world war will be between the Zionists and the Arabs, and he's betting that they wipe each other out. Now, here's one thing: the Book of Revelations kind of tends to say close to that, but in my belief, I don't think that people really understand how well fortified Israel is. And I don't think that they really understand that, in this, whether you want to call it God or whether you want to call it karma or whatever else, there's going to be a lot of hell to pay for the wickedness that the United States has done. There's going to be, but here's the thing. They're going to be much better off because of their charity than the nations that fight God or fight against what's good and try to put themselves above and beyond. Radical Islam is a point to be dealt with. And if you don't realize that, you're going to have a heck of a time over these next couple of years. Now, this president and this administration has invested in radical Islam. They think that that's the way that they should have done. And the thing is that's why you have a Benghazi, is because they thought, surely, we gave them Egypt, they'll protect us. We don't need to send in more people. We don't want to upset or offend anybody. And you got your ambassador killed and didn't do a doggone thing about it. That's what you're dealing with here. You're dealing with inept, silly, asinine thinking. And you have it in control of the largest, richest, most powerful nation still on the earth. That's the problem. That's why we can't deal with, you know, with this little namby-pamby liberal mindset, this craziness that people think that, we can just take care of everything and everybody, and just live happily ever after. You have no money. You're $17.5 trillion in debt, and this guy has run up at least $6 trillion of that in 4 years. And you don't think to try to change it. And I hear all this, right, yeah, they got 1.1 signed up on a healthcare website. Ha, 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 you Republicans, you dumb butt. I'm sorry. Think. Are those people paying for their plans? Are these the people that are young adults that are going to pay double the price for healthcare that everybody else is, so they can support the sick people on it? No. No, it's not. And that's what you're not thinking about. And that's what we do here at Tracy and Friends, is we want to make you think if we don't make you do anything else. At least think, get involved in your processes. Don't sit there and let this stuff happen. But that's what we do.
Hey, Mike, I think some of your friends got Iowa and Ohio mixed up, because I've been looking through Google.
Yeah.
I've been seeing a whole bunch of recent stuff about Iowa.
Oh, that's cool.
But I couldn't find anything about Ohio.
I'll try to follow up on that, but thank you for the clarification, because, see, I'd move to Ohio just for the right, just to be with you guys, but no, I'm not moving to Iowa.
Well, yay. Come on up.
I don't know.
Come on.
Actually,
South Carolina, is that you out there hanging out?
I do know one guy in Iowa. He was a Vietnam vet. And toward the end of his tour, he stepped on a landmine. Not only did he lose his two legs, but he was blinded, and he runs a cattle ranch, and he built his own home from a wheelchair. Yeah, quite a guy.
I'm here.
Wow.
I'm here trying to chill out and listen to you.
Hey. I heard that, my friend.
I particularly like, you know, the military approach with Iran.
Sorry.
Found him in the dust, man. Found them in the dust. That's the only way you get. That's the only way you show your strength with these type of individuals.
Yeah.
You got to pound.
It's the only way you save lives in the future too, because you have to make messing with you to be so serious of a matter that they're not going to try to do it. You know, because I'm gonna tell you, the mafia had it right. You go wipe you mess with me. Guess what? We're gonna wipe out families.
Yeah, but hold on, Jeff. Let me ask you a question.
This is
gentleman just a few minutes ago was talking about
the
Rothschilds, and nobody's really doing. No, it's like everybody, when you say that, when you deal with these people, everybody just ignores them. Oh, here comes a nut that believes in the Roth. As if this stuff isn't just public knowledge, and it's not. That's what I struggle when I hear people say conspiracy theory. I hate that word, because it's like.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like, okay, well, I trust the government, or I trust the narrative and that they tell us to believe, so I'm going to stay over here, and I'm not going to drift into this other part of history that we all can agree that's true. Like the guy, the Rothschild, what's his name, Nathan Rothschild, the one that started it, and it was 1600s,
no,
it was 1800s, during Napoleon, that guy. These guys are crooks.
Well,
and I'm just like, when I talk about it, people act like you're crazy or something.
Well, they're crooks to a highest level. I mean, a lot of people, when they're ambitious, they're thinking about, well, becoming a CEO of a Fortune 500 company. This family, they're taking over the world and have done it.
Well, yeah, they need to understand that all that money, even going clear back to Rome, didn't disappear. It just moved into somebody else's hands. And that power structure has been probably since the beginning of mankind. And certain people are allowed in and certain people are not. Just like the money from the Rockefellers and the Carnegies and all of that money, it never went away. They just figured out how to hide it from public scrutiny and to control it. And one of their favorite terms was own nothing and control everything. And we need to understand that's how these people think.
That's it.
They don't think about owning anything because they don't need to own it, because they control it.
I need to comment on this conversation here, guys. Again, you guys are talking about, you know, pounding Iran into the ground and all this stuff, all this nonsense. You know, here's the thing, all right? You guys are just, you're repeating history. That's the same thing Rome did. You know, they were dealing with what they called terrorists from the Parthians from the east and the Celtics from the north and blah blah blah. And which is where they came up with some of the most brutal punishments to try to, you know, let it be known not to mess with us. And they were doing the same thing that we're doing now, inflating currency and all this nonsense and created a nanny state just like we're doing. And the only thing that's going to happen is we're going to end up like Rome, because you think that you can put down an iron fist and people are going to back off. Yeah.
No, you misunderstand.
Just look at history and see how well that worked for Rome.
No, you misunderstand. Rome. You misunderstand me, Alex. When I say that, I don't mean go in, take territory, and become an empire.
An invader that controls.
You go in. You basically punish them for what they did, and you come home and you say, "Now don't do it again."
That's what Rome did.
And you clean
Rome
up your own mess.
No, Rome.
That's the same thing. That's what Rome. They did not.
No, they didn't.
People have the misconception that Rome had all these garrisons all around the world. No, that's not what they did. After they beat people, they created pacts with them and said, "Okay, you know, now you behave now, or we're going to have to come back over there and teach you another lesson." And that's how their empire grew, is because people were considered allies, but they weren't holding soldiers all around in all these different places. If you really go back and look at it, that's how Rome did it. But it doesn't matter
how Alexander the Great did it.
It doesn't matter how hard you punish them. The fact of the matter is that the United States has done some very wicked things that people are not going to forget about, and it's not going to go away just by you. Well, let's just bomb them. I mean, get real.
No. You can get real because of this. If you did not have the destabilization of the power that you have right now in the Middle East, they might be pissed with you if they want to be. But there's not a damn thing they can do about it if you have your P's and Q's in order.
But we don't,
because we have idiots in charge of this thing. But see,
take the position of an oppressor.
No, you don't have
control.
No, that's not
don't
what we're
to
saying.
Maintain control. You speak your peace and leave, like Jeff said.
That's right.
See, Alex,
the Romans
left governors who were sympathetic to their way of doing things. They basically got the political acts
like
of that country
Pilate.
To sell out to Rome.
It doesn't really matter if you're an occupier or not an occupier. People have long memories. If you're going to invade a country, just like if you're going to invade a neighborhood or if you're going to have a vendetta against some family, people will have long memories lasting decades. So if you invade a country and then even if you leave it, they're going to build up their armaments to come back at you.
But
and that's exactly what the United States is doing.
Well, the
that's
correction
what we have
in
done.
That theory
yes, and I agree,
is only the living people have memories.
No, I agree with you on that.
And
let me
get ready.
How about just leaving people alone and going home? Is that a good idea?
Well, you can't do it. No, it doesn't work. It doesn't work because you have evil people in the world, and they're going to not play with you.
Well,
we're getting ready to get out of here. We
need 2,000 bases all over the world.
You probably do, but here's the point, and I'll leave it with this. You have evil people, and when you have evil people and people that will blow themselves up and you too because they want you to believe in their religion, if you don't eradicate them, you're not going to survive it. And
you're going to eradicate 1 billion people.
Every time you get one. Every time you get one that blew itself up and killed 20 people, you go wipe his family out. I guarantee you they won't do it.
You're going to eradicate 1 billion people because their religion is different than yours.
No, there's not 1 billion radical Islamists in the world. Sorry to say. There's not.
Hey, Jeff.
But all right, let's just say
that. Well, we got to go. We'll see you next year. We'll be Thursday morning, afternoon with Tracy.
Thursday afternoon,
12 o'clock, same time, same bat station. And so we will see what's going on. Everybody, wish Tracy well. Give her some prayers that she's doing some things that she has to take care of. And we want to say Happy New Year to you. And we'll see you the next time. God bless you.
You've been listening to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. Listen to Tracy every weekday from noon to 3 on Newstalk 600. Visit our website for more about Tracy and Friends at www.tracyandfriends.com. That's T-R-A-C-E-Y and friends.com. Tune in tomorrow at noon for the next edition of Afternoons with Tracy and Friends on Newstalk
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren, the home for Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, Newstalk 600.